Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nick had an observation he wanted to pass along.
Yes, I drive a Subaru Outback, and I love my car. I've had it for about a year now, and it's a great car, and I don't think I'll ever trade it in. But I was up at my girlfriend's parents' house over the holidays, and my girlfriend's father has a pickup truck. And so mm-hmm. we got on the topic of talking about pickup trucks. And I think if I ever got a fun car, you know, besides my main car, it might be a pickup truck. I've always liked them. I think that they're great. You know, they're cool for the beach, mountains, whatever. And so he has a Ford pickup truck, which I think is really cool. And we were sort of just having that conversation. And then we got onto the topic of what are other cool pickup trucks out there. And I brought up the Honda Ridgeline. And what I didn't realize is that pickup truck drivers look at Honda Ridgelines and say, those are not pickup trucks at all. And I
was it like you smacked him in the face when you said it?
It was.
Touch my daughter again, I'll kill you.
That was it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Right. It was as if I had maligned the United States of America and to this veteran. And I've always thought.
But what about the Tacoma? I mean, it's
that's a pickup truck.
Yeah, that's a pickup truck. Okay.
Yeah, but the Ridgeline is not. And the reason I brought it up to you guys is that we've mentioned in passing a few times, or they've come up conversations with listeners or whatever. And I've seen on the text board responses saying those aren't pickup trucks.
I don't even know what a Ridgeline is.
It's kind of like a Honda SUV with the back half sort of shaved off. And where the back half used to be, they
so
put
it's a
in
small bed.
A bed. Yes,
it's
a
smaller bed.
It's kind of like, so to me, it's enough of a pickup truck.
Yes. Well, pickup truck.
You would think
Jeep makes. Have you seen their little
yeah.
thing?
Yeah, it's almost Commander. Like an extended Wrangler.
Well, it's kind of like the Wrangler, but they took the back seat out and they put a bed in.
The Wrangler exactly. Unlimited.
Which, by the way, I look at that and go, that ain't a Jeep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh, well, so you come in from this snooty Jeep,
but I'm
side.
Not snooty on it. I'm just like I don't really consider that. I like
that's
like,
what Jackson drives, by the way.
Okay, but I don't know if I don't think I'd give that the Jeep wave if I saw that coming down the street.
Yeah, you want a more standard Jeep body. This is I know exactly where you're coming from.
Maybe I would. I don't know.
I probably what I consider a really cool pickup truck. Most would not consider a pickup truck, which is the Ford Raptor.
Yeah.
Which is like
no people would
that's legit
okay because I think that's kind of a beast.
It's tough looking.
It's a tough looking
from the front it looks really mean. It looks like it's flexing.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
looks like there's a difference between, or at least the terminology that they're using, a pickup truck and an adventure truck.
Well, here's the deal. Also, like last night on The Bachelor, you watched The Bachelor last night, right, Nick? Did you see when the girl drove up in her pickup truck?
I love it.
Yes. An adventure truck? What, are we going to Narnia in that thing?
Yeah,
what
right?
is that?
Well, I looked up what Nick said, the Ridgeline.
Yes.
And that's considered an adventure truck.
So it's not a pickup truck.
Oh. Adventure right. trucks are four-season recreational vehicles made for off-road travel.
Now, who?
But wouldn't that be a
is this a blog truck? Or is that actual information?
I think a pickup truck traditionally is something that you're going to port stuff in.
Yeah, and a Ridgeline does that. They're all built like so. That Ridgeline is probably built on the chassis of like the CRV or whatever, right?
Or a Pilot or something.
Or Pilot or one of those two. I don't know which one they poured over. And so my wife drives a Tahoe, which, you know, I don't know if it's a Silverado or whatever, but like, you know, it's the same chassis. It's the same car,
right?
You know, and
okay. Yeah, they're made on the same assembly line or mm-hmm. similar assembly lines. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. There might be an explanation. Thank you for the text. And it says, Honda Ridgeline is a unibody vehicle, i.e., it has no actual frame. The body is the frame. A pickup truck has a frame. You could pick the body up off of the frame. Uh-huh. So that is a big difference in...
Oh. But I also thought a pickup truck meant you could pick up stuff in it. Like, you know, you could.
Well, I think that's what I've always thought that's what it meant is you have a bed, you pick stuff
that's
up.
That's just like who's picking their truck up off their frame?
I don't know.
I think Nick is looking to do that.
That's what I mean. They're the same thing.
Sometimes you just want to see what's under the frame, so you pick it up.
Chris works for Honda.
Oh, there you go.
Clear this up, he says. Hi, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, I have three testicles.
Thank you, Gary.
Man, it's true.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, so that text message pretty much summed it all up in its own. And for once, I can say that Casey Boy
was exactly right.
What? What?
You're exactly right. All right, so that's the one defining feature between a pickup truck and a, what would you say it was, Kathy? A
adventure truck.
So yeah, it's more or less a mom truck or a truck.
A mom truck. Okay,
yeah, I think it would fit Nick perfectly.
So why isn't the Ridgeline a pickup?
Because it's all wheel drive, not four wheel drive, and it doesn't have one solid frame. It's a unibody, so it's two different. Okay. Frames that connect together onto the body.
Now, wait a second. Are all pickup trucks four-wheel drive?
Well, not all of them. Some of them are two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. None of them are all-wheel drive.
But simply not being four-wheel drive doesn't make you not a truck, but it contributes to it. Okay.
I mean, if you have two-wheel drive, technically you're not driving a truck.
All right. When you're talking about the definitive pickup truck, what is the definitive iconic pickup truck?
I think like a Ford F1 or 250.
I mean, everyone has their own Ford, Chevy, you know, but yeah. If it's an American made truck, you know, not Toyota, none of this.
Right. Okay.
I would say a Subaru Brat would be
a pickup truck.
I mean, yeah, back in our day, that was a badass vehicle.
But it's funny how people are, you know, you got your Ford people, like my buddy's a Dodge guy. Dodge Ram guy.
People
get
passionate. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
You know what you don't see anymore? They made when in the 1980s, my sister had one. They used to have these mini pickup trucks.
Like a Ford Ranger?
Well, ours was a Plymouth. And it had the bed in the back, but it was a smaller pickup truck, and they were cool. They were.
Did it have passenger seats? Did it have a back seat?
No. It was small.
Yeah,
it was smaller than your standard pickup truck.
I almost bought a Ford Ranger when I was like 22.
I'd have to see what a Ford. It's probably the same similar thing. And nobody, I don't think there were. It was the impression that you were driving a pussy car like that.
Would you like to see our pussy vehicles?
Yeah, exactly.
I was driven to high school every day of high school in one of those that you're talking about. And
which teacher drove one?
No, it was my friend would pick us up every morning, and two of us would squeeze in the front seat with him. And he would drive us to school every morning.
We always had a truck growing up in my house.
Yeah.
Always had a pickup truck. Yeah, because I rode motocross motorcycles, and that's how we, you know, dragged them around. And plus my dad was just, you know, he's a country guy. And a truck was part of what you needed.
It's a utility vehicle. You need it, especially if you're going to be out living a little bit more rurally.
I don't like trucks anymore. Mm. I think
you're a Jeep dude now.
Well, yeah. I'm a Jeep dude, but I kind of have a thing. I've lumped the stereotype in with them, and I think that a lot of people with trucks drive like a-holes.
It's like the BMW.
It's like some people with BMW. Yeah. Same thing. It's a really big, manly vehicle, and some guys drive it like it's a big, manly vehicle. Get it right up on your ass, cut you off, stuff like that. I see it happen a lot. In big, badass, you know, Ford F-350s and stuff like
Humvees used to be that. A lot of times people would drive Humvees as if they were driving Humvees.
It's turned me off to them,
So my brother-in-law has at least he had a pickup truck. I don't know if he still has it anymore, but I had to borrow it one time. And that thing drove way differently than any other car that there was like no weight in the back. And I had
your fishtail?
I did. Getting onto the Blue Route. I had just, you know, I had to put the gas on it, but I was also kind of coming around a curve at the same time. And the back went out on me. I was not expecting that at all. Yeah,
because you're driving a pickup truck and you're like, oh, this is going to handle like a dream.
No,
it's going to be like a tank. And
Well, that's why a lot of times what happens is if you have those kind of vehicles, you have to load stuff into the back to give you that extra weight.
If you own a pickup truck or you're a truck person, I know the other thing that happens to you all the time is that you always get hit up when people are moving.
Absolutely.
You are the guy. You have to come over and help with the furniture.
I do think, though, and listen, I've lumped the stereotype in with people who drive trucks. I do think, though, that when you buy a truck, you go into it, Nick, knowing that I'm going to be the guy that helps you out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the guy that helps you move. Not necessarily just move furniture, but, you know, I mean.
And some people love things.
And some people like to do that. They like to offer it up, yeah.
Who was pitching the rear gate that has the extra step down? It was big during the Super Bowl they were pitching it.
Oh, they were pitching the different ways that it steps down.
That it steps, right. Yeah. Those things, like people get that, say, oh, I got this, and I got the turnbuckle, and I can do all this. And that's part of the thrill of having that vehicle.
I'm going to go to Dave, who owns a Honda Ridgeline. Hi, Dave, good morning.
I bought the Ridgeline when it first came out. It was the end of 2005 you could get it. I still have it now. I have an F-150. I refuse to get rid of the original, not the new one that looks like a cutoff band. But the original Ridgeline carried 40 bags of mulch, 20, I don't know, only 10 or 12. That was, it was limited because when you folded the bed down, it was only 6.5 feet long, so you had a hangover drywall. But that truck could do everything. And one time I took it down to the Jeep Jamboree, challenged Jeeps over the humps, the sand on the beach, and wow, it beat every truck there.
There you go. Amazing.
Okay.
Now, but the whole time you've owned it, I bet people have said you don't actually own a pickup truck, right?
Yeah. But actually, a guy had the Fords made a little pickup truck to compete with it. It was the Explorer with a pickup bed.
Yeah.
Beat that out. And the trucks you're talking about, the little trucks back in the 80s.
Yeah.
The Isuzu Pup was one of them. But
the
you guys didn't even get into the El Camino yet. What is the El Camino? What is the Ford Ranchero?
The El Camino was appropriate. But I mean, honestly, who's your audience? Why don't you go get the Pup? Yeah, go bring the kitten around
the
front.
The carry around, you know, the styrofoam cups if you had a partner.
Right. And I could see that. For me, if you're going to go that way, you go all in. You get something that's got that carry power. You don't. You're just going to half-ass it because my car has a sports back, and I can fit a ton of stuff in there. But I don't call my car a pickup.
I moved two houses using that Ridgeline.
I'm sure I
still have it, and I've had three other pickup trucks while I've had this, and I won't get rid of the Ridgeline. My son's driving it; and he loves it.
Becomes a passion, though. It is very like you, Preston. You talk about Jeep life, you know, having the Jeep, and that you caught the bug.
Yeah,
and so when it becomes, and especially now they're talking about how I was reading an article. I think it was in the Inquirer this morning about the car light, because we're doing a lot of, you know, because of curbside pickup and so on and so forth, we're doing a lot more from our cars.
Right.
And so the atmosphere, and there's, as much as we were a car nation before and a vehicle nation before, that skipped up more.
Yeah, well, so you take somebody like Jackson who has that Jeep pickup truck.
And he's all in.
And before he even had that, he had just the Unlimited or whatever. Yeah. But, like, that for him is an absolute lifestyle truck for him. He camps out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, can live at it for weeks at a time. And so
he sells his Etsy stuff out of the back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Macrame and whatnot. I don't even know what macrame is.
Jackson's a big fan, though. Yeah.
Macrame was big in the 70s.
Was it?
Yeah. Nick went pro.
Is that
too.
Like yarn?
Yeah. Yep.
Macrame
it's a lot like
that.
That's how you make a nice hippie dress.
Macrame and whatnot. Hey, that's the name of my acoustic duo. That's the name of our group.
Macrame and whatnot.
Macrame and whatnot. I'm whatnot, and I'm macrame.
Yeah.
They'll get a Ridgeline because this texter says that they're commie pieces of ass.
Yes. Oh. But see, this is how weirdly territorial and manly, quote unquote, you have to get when talking about any type of pickup truck. Ridgelines are for pussies. You know, like if you're not driving a Jeep, you know, it's.
Listen, drive what you. I have a Vespa, and I've been dealing with people for. Like what you like.
Yeah.
And who cares?
Who cares
what anybody else says?
Yeah. Though a lot of times you do like that culture. You do like getting that response back. Like you're saying, are you going to get responded back?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I can't. You're not in the club. I can't flash my, you know, you're not part of this.
My wife was riding behind me one time when I was in my Vespa.
She was on her Harley.
She was in her minivan.
My husband.
How's that going, honey?
No, but she was cracking up because at one point when I was driving or riding on it, a Harley was coming in the other direction, and I gave it the old motorcycle wave. The two fingers down, dude waved back.
Yeah.
After laughing.
I just, with you, you know, what's Born to be Wild? Tearing out, damage, you're headed down the road. All right, let me go to Vince once to explain about people in pickup trucks and how they drive. Hey, Vince, good morning.
Good morning, it.
Good morning.
What's up, Vince?
I just wanted to give my two cents as to why, like, guys with big trucks drive the way they do.
Okay.
So I have an old 90s, like, square body Ford. Most people out there know what I'm talking about. And it's just an old, rusty, beat-up pickup truck. It's kind of fast. But you can drive like that because it's got a little bit of ass to it, and you don't really care because it's all rusty and beat up. So if you give somebody a love tap, it's not that big of a deal.
No, there is power in that, in having a car that's got some size, that's a little beat up.
But, Vince, the ones I'm seeing drive aggressively are brand new, big, shiny. That's their babies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes that's just mommy and daddy money, and, you know, they don't pay for it.
I do like an old pickup truck, though. There's one that is for sale. It's right. It's on where 347 and 47 meet. It's old. It looks like Uncle Jesse's old pickup truck from the Dukes of Hazzard. And I drive past. I'm like, God, I would love to have that.
There is a community of truck owners, I believe. I think I saw this years ago where it essentially you make your truck look older and beat up than it actually is.
Oh, really?
Like with primer, but it's actually in immaculate condition. But you make it look like you know, distressed T-shirts.
Yeah. Right, right,
look
right.
Like your old
so it's like
something similar to that.
Its performance level is high, but it just looks like it's beat up.
I mean, like if you got close enough, you would see like, oh, this rust is painted on here. You know what I mean?
I would say this, though. Do you, in other words, if it's like when you'd go to school with brand new jeans, you'd get like...
Yeah.
So if you have a pickup truck that's spotless...
Well, that my buddy Billy, he just got one in September. I mean, this thing, it's like a Mercedes. You get into this thing, it's like beautiful, all like, you know, leather interior, like computer dashboard. When you open the door, the step stool comes down.
The fondue set comes down.
The fondue set. Like, I mean, this thing is, it is nice. Wow.
If anybody knows what I'm talking about as far as these vehicles that
purposely distress.
It might not just be trucks. It might be cars as well that are purposely made to look older or more beat up than they actually are. Let me know. Text in and let me know what that might be named as so I can do a search on it.
Is it so it doesn't get stolen? Like that
car
from Saturday Night Live?
No, car from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, they had a commercial where it just looks like a beat up.
It's luxury on the inside.
It's luxury on the inside, but the outside looks like a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Let me see here. I'm going to go to Christian. Hey, Christian, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
What's up, bud?
Hey, I got one of those 1990 Isuzu pickups. It's awesome. Love it.
The Isuzu pickup, they were very popular. They were huge for a while.
Yeah, Joe Isuzu.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's all over the place. He'd slide out from the bottom with his
David Leisure was that actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But do you still have it? You say you still have it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I also have a Chevy 2500, the big truck.
Right.
And I drive the little one whenever I can. I do cabinets and countertops. And I can load as much in that tiny little truck as I do my big truck, and I don't have to climb in it.
Listen, that makes all the difference in the world. But yeah, of having that ability to move stuff, especially like when you're a contractor or whatever, you're doing work, and you've got that. Like my brother-in-law is a contractor. He's got a Suburban that he can load up with a lot, you know, and obviously that's part of the deal. But your truck's your life.
Yeah, and I don't show up to measure jobs or try to get jobs with it, but I can show up to deliver them. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Sure. No, that's cool.
All right, thanks, man. So people are texting in. Patina is what it's called.
Patina and Rat Rod is another one.
Yeah, if you pull up...
Real Rat Rotten Hut.
If you pull up Patina Trucks, Connor, and pull up some photos, and you'll see... Now, I've seen, like, Rat Rods. I think those are actually, like, real rust and stuff covered. Okay. I may be way off on that. But these are, like, paint jobs to make them look...
Ooh, that's cool.
Oh, seriously?
That
is cool. So that's a paint job?
Yeah, see, like, the blue one in the middle there, the middle bottom, that's all...
Paint? You know,
yeah, that's paint. That's not worn. It's
God, that's funny.
It's made to look like that.
Do you ever think maybe SCTV did the commercial for the car called the Adobe? Did you remember that?
No.
So that the car was actually made out of clay. So that if you had any body damage, the body was just clay.
Adobe.
So that you could just form it back into it.
You could mold it. That's great, man. Let me see here. I'm going to go to, we got a lot of truck calls here. I'm going to go to Larry. Larry, good morning, sir. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I want to try and simplify it a little bit more for, you know, your common person.
Okay. Hey, Larry.
So what everyone was talking about, the truck and the Ridgeline, they're all, you know, it's all the same thing. The main difference, everyone's considering the actual bed of the truck.
And that's why they're comparing the Ford F-150 to the Ridgeline. You have the bed so you can, transport things. The main thing with, the unibody of the Ridgeline and the actual frame of the truck, it's more so to tow things and, pull things.
Right.
Like you did all the off-roading stuff. You have your trailer, things like that. That's when you need the truck. You need that full frame of the truck
okay.
to have the power to pull things.
Yeah, because usually those are rated by a weight pull, how much you can get away with dragging around, I assume.
Exactly. If you take the Ridgeline and you hook up a 20,000-pound trailer to the back of it and, a backhoe, you're going to rip that Ridgeline into 30 pieces.
Okay.
It can't handle that.
Okay. All right. That's a clear delineation. Thank you for dumbing that down, Larry. That makes total sense.
Yeah. If you're just moving furniture or sheetrock from Home Depot, they're doing the same thing. It's just a storage space to put it in.
That's right. What you use for sheetrock, Kathy, right?
My Ridgeline.
Your Honda Civic. Just throw the sheetrock right in the back of the.
Going to Floral and Hardy. Gotta pick up some succulents.
About how many succulents I could put in a pickup truck.
Uh-huh. You'd have a thousand succulents.
Oh my god,
that
would be awesome.
Do you guys see the Hummer's got the new? It's a fully electric pickup truck. It is nice looking, man.
Is it?
Yes.
And finally, a cool looking.
Well, it behaves like a truck. You power it up like any other electrical car, but it has the horsepower that truck owners crave in buying a new truck.
It has the frame as well.
Yep.
What did you guys think of the Tesla?
the SUV one that looked like a giant triangle?
Yeah, the very angular. Remember that one?
I thought it was weird looking.
And it didn't look like it. It looked like it was trying to be cool looking and was kind of getting rid of functionality because of it.
Well, yeah, and it's a little too movie futuristic
looking.
Also, I remember during the demonstration they were showing the unbreakable glass and it broke like six times.
Some of the greatest video.
I think the angles are a little too sharp. I think the sharper angles are going to start to come back as you always see these
trends.
These trends come back and forth, and the 80s had real sharp angles and lines, and it'll probably get back.
Honestly, I think that's what sort of screwed up that, like Cadillac for a while adopted that really sharp, boxy.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Let me go to I think it's Steve who can explain the patina craze. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey guys, it's Chris from Westchester. How are
Chris? All right, sorry about that. What's up, bud?
Hey, the patina thing. 10-15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, there's this big craze of, when people find an actual barn find, a truck or car that has never been altered, it's just been sitting forever.
Yeah.
They didn't want to spend thousands and thousands on bodywork. They would just keep the patina because it's only original once. Now, those cars and trucks are getting harder and harder to find. So if somebody has a half-decent looking truck, they'll put all the money into the suspension and the power plant and do the fake patina to make it look like an old barn find just to give it a nostalgic look.
I got you. So it's like just a distressed anything.
I was just going to say, it's like a distressed do-it-yourself project.
Right,
in your house.
Exactly, yeah.
Totally.
That could be something you can get behind, Kathy.
All right, Chris, thanks, man.
Patina trucks.
Appreciate it. Kathy driving her patina
yes.
Toyota or whatever.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing it. If I could do the paint, I wouldn't mind doing it.
Let me see here. We're going to break in just a moment. But here, Scott has a Ridgeline. Wants to speak to Nick's questions about it. Hi, Scott. You're on the air. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Yeah, a guy I used to work for, he's a farmer. He has a Toyota. He has one of those Ridgelines, and he's been driving it for about 10 years. Overloads it every day. Pulls 10,000-12,000 pounds with it, 6,000-7,000 pounds in the bed, and it hasn't missed a beat yet. It's the best truck he's ever had.
The Ridgeline.
Was that the Ridgeline?
Wow. Okay.
First generation.
Just don't call it a truck.
It's loosely a truck. I mean, it's not heavy duty like a Dodge 3500 or the Ford F-350 or the 450, but I've been driving trucks since 83. I've had 5 Toyotas, 3 Rams, 4 Fords. And depends on what you want to use the truck for is what you get.
What was your favorite one?
Oh, Toyota, by far.
Oh, okay.
By far. I've had less trouble, and I've had them lifted. I've had 3 Toyotas. 4 of them were lifted. 38-inch tall tires, 44-inch tall tires. They're great.
Okay. All right. Everyone has their opinion. What works personally. It's funny to me. It's
There's all different takes and all different sensibilities when it comes to this stuff.
So the GMC owns Hummer? Okay, GMC, I didn't know who did. GMC Hummer EV, the electric, arrives in fall of this year. Shouldn't be too bad. Starting price is $112,000.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, you're going to save on gas.
$112,000. Starting price.
Yeah.
So that's the bottom.
Right.
So it's going to be $130,000 probably for the one you want.
If you want something that's worth a damn.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then one last thing. I got a postcard.
Yes.
Which was really nice. And I just wanted to read this real quick. We get them from time to time. And
we get letters.
And this is from not a truck driver, but an RV driver. This is President Steve Gadzooks from New Mexico. We are a family of longtime listeners from PA who are now traveling the country full time in our RV.
That's so cool.
And we wanted to send a shout out to say thanks for all that you do. Thanks so much for all that you do for the listeners and the community, especially during these uncertain times. Your show provides endless entertainment for so many, and we love listening on our long drives. Follow along on our journey on Instagram, which is freerange_fifthwheel. And Steve, do you see where they sent this from?
Where?
Carlsbad Cavern.
I saw the front. I didn't make the connection.
Steve references quite
all the time.
Often on
the
show.
I love Carlsbad Cavern.
Have you ever been there?
I have.
Where is it? Is it in New Mexico?
I thought it was California.
Because they said they sent this from...
No, it's New Mexico.
New Mexico.
I thought it was New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico.
I thought it was California.
I haven't gone. I've just gone, because you can spend, you know, a ton of time in there.
Yeah. Hang on a second. What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the Louvre.
That's it. In Paris, California.
Are you thinking of...
were there a lot of paintings?
No. I'm trying to... Where do the freaking Kardashians live?
Calabasas.
That's what I was thinking of.
Calabasas Caverns.
Yeah, Calabasas Caverns.
That's where they sent this.
Yeah, that's where Chloe lives.
So, they are... If you want to follow along on their journey, it's freerange_fifthwheel.
That is cool.
If you want to check that out. So thank you guys for sending that in. And safe travels, all right?
Yes.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get to the Bizarre File when we return. So make sure you stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com. It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I was going to bring something up, but switching gears for just a moment. Because Casey told me, and Brent Porsche had told me earlier this morning... that he caught a mouse in the other studio.
Oh, God, there's more.
He's got a humane trap.
Yeah.
And it's still in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in there now in the trap?
I thought he was going to let it go on the way out.
No.
Can you go get it?
We got to let it out.
Yeah.
Kathy can get it.
Oh, dear God.
Why is Marissa, she's waving her hands up in the air. What do you mean? What's wrong? What? What?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, go get it.
Oh, hell.
It's
you want Marissa
mouse.
To go get it?
No, you should
no,
go get
I
it.
Casey. I don't want to see it. Ew.
They're adorable.
They're huge.
Oh, my God. This is the second one in there, and he let the first one out.
Yeah.
And you let it outside.
Look at, what? You're acting like it's like a house pet.
They're adorable. They're adorable.
I agree. Mice are adorable. You don't want them as an infestation
no.
in your home, obviously.
You got to get them out.
But there's nothing wrong
you know what
with
I
them.
Think? You know why I think I don't like them?
Why?
I think because they're too quick. Like, it freaks me out that they can move
they
quick that
haul
quick.
Ass. You're right.
So, like...
It is funny to watch them scamper
like that.
What
if like it,
that?
Like, ran up my leg?
And, I know.
Oh, my God.
I think of that, too. But listen, to be honest, they're doing their best to get away from
away.
You.
Away.
That's
are.
All there is to it. They're not going to...
stop. It's not funny.
Oh, my God.
Casey's brought in. Steve bought these humane traps.
let me see him.
All right.
Aw.
All right. Poor little guy. He's tiny.
Oh, he's tiny. Kill
they're
tiny.
No. We got to let him out.
What did you just say?
Oh, but I don't have these humane things in my garage. If I had, I thought I had a mouse, and I put the one that would snap them in half.
Wow.
We didn't catch anything, so I don't think there was any in there.
Preston is cute. Is there something we need to talk about, or?
We have one in our office.
We have two.
Know?
We see it every morning.
Jesus, God almighty.
Kathy? We've been keeping it from you.
Okay, so here's the deal. My hands are sweating. You came in the other day, so listen. It was so funny.
It was the best.
So you know how we have the desk, and then above the desk, there's a little, like a little railing that runs up just a little bit further up before it goes to drywall. In front of my desk, he runs across that.
Oh, my God!
And Steve and I'll be like, Steve, he's here. Come here. Come over here. He's so cute.
Wait, and that's why you were standing over the other day.
Came in. And we've been so
quiet about it,
and we didn't want you to know about it. A, we didn't want to freak you out. B, we don't want you calling the freaking mouse militia to come and kill him.
Yeah. Dude, I walked by there yesterday, and it was doing its makeup in Kathy's mirror.
Look at him now.
They're all freaking over here. I hate it.
Well, we have a bit of a mouse problem.
There are two traps in our office, humane traps. Now, the thing is, Brent's using pretzels.
Yeah.
I have goddamn cheese in our traps.
And we haven't caught anything.
We haven't caught them yet.
Do they actually eat cheese?
I don't know. Peanut butter's better.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So can we'll switch there? I bought Kathy 8 humane traps.
Oh, my God. Where are they? I can't believe I don't see any of them.
Yeah. There are two in our office. Yeah. There's that one in there in the studio. Preston and I will be there. It's a door. You know what I think of every time I see it? The Green Mile.
Oh, Mr. Jingles.
I think of Mr. Jingles.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's no way I can kill this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, we're in an enclosed suite. I feel like maybe anybody who has cats, we should just bring them all in one day.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know how yesterday you said about once an hour you wanted to quit the show?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that rate today?
Right now. Well, whoever sent, Jackie Bam Bam, was it that? I think that's who sent the initial video that I saw of the mouse running up the wall.
That was pretty wild.
That was my response. I just said I quit.
But Steve and I were standing over by my desk, and we're trying to figure out where to put this other trap he brought in.
I actually thought you guys were talking about me. When I walked in, I was like, oh, my God, they were talking about me.
No,
I
mean, we sort of were. We just didn't want you to hear it.
But we're sitting here going, okay, maybe I've seen him over here. Why don't we put it over here, blah, 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 this and that. And then you came walking in, and we started pretending like we were talking about
something else. Oh, I was holding the trap right in my hand.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but if you were holding that and I didn't know that it was a mousetrap, I wouldn't think, oh, that's a mousetrap.
Yeah.
Because it's just a green cylinder. But when I went into the studio to grab this trap, Brady was cleaning. He's a gentleman who cleans the suites around here.
Oh, he's got to see them all.
Well, no. What? He was in there.
Did he freak out?
And he was standing right in front of where the trap was. I go, hey, there's a mouse over there. And he freaked out like you. He was like,
really?
Like, I get the same way, too. It's a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
But if I see it, my initial reaction is to act like it's a lion or something.
Well, I think it's Kathy's it might run up your leg paranoia. Yeah. That's what I think of, too. And to be honest, they're not going to do that. But it does freak out a little bit. But once we've gotten used to our little buddy.
I like him. But
I like him,
the
too.
The problem is that there's droppings and there's other things that you want to be. And you also don't want. So do you know where he goes, Kathy?
Oh,
you know, so the receiver, where my receiver is in the office, where that everything, that console right next to me, I'll hear him.
He goes back there. So why eating your wires?
He's got, I don't know what he's eating, but whatever he's eating, we just want to get him caught and safely release him.
By the way, number of texts coming in. By the way, somebody says it's Mr. Bojangles, not Mr. Jingles. No, it's Mr. Jingles.
Bojangles would dance.
I read the books. I've seen the movie 1,000 times. It's Mr. Jingles. But anyway, a lot of people are concurring with Casey on the peanut butter. Some people say take peanut butter, roll it up in some oats or maybe cereal or something like that. Also, chocolate is something good. So sweet, I think, is what we need.
All right,
to go
so
I would also fall for that trap, by the way.
Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't find Nick in one of them. Nick, how did you get in?
Hey, because of this, when I go into the kitchen, if I have anything that, you know, if I'm making oatmeal or sometimes I'll reheat my coffee and I'll take the lid off and that I put down a paper towel and put all of my stuff on the paper towel. I don't even want it to sit on the counter because I'm afraid there's mouse poop.
We don't.
Hey, by the way, Marissa, you know, who runs our social at PrestonSteve.com, normally would be in here in
taking
a split second to take a picture of something like
not
this.
So much?
She's like, she's moved further away from the door on the other side.
It's in a box that it can't get out.
She might be worse than me.
I'll take a picture of him and then I'll send it to Marissa because we got to get this little guy on our social media account.
They're adorable. Cute. They're cute. And I understand, yes, they're vermin and it's not right to have them in here. We didn't ask to have them in here, but we're going to do everything we can to get them out in a humane fashion.
Yeah. I mean, we do end up, you know, serving food in here from time to time. And, you know, it's a health concern. And didn't one of the mice end up in the vending machine?
Yes.
Like a month or two ago?
We heard that. Yeah. Did that end up being true or not?
I bought it, Preston. I just didn't know the code sequence. Oh. And once I hit M1 for mouse, it came out. Do we sell anything with peanut butter in the vending machine?
Probably. Like Toast Chi or something like that.
So, okay. So then we'll switch it out. Because we see the other day, Preston, you're there, and I hear, he's right here.
Yeah. I'm like, Steve's right here. Come here.
But when you move, he's like, you see, he'll peek around the picture. Kathy, I had the trap right near you.
Oh, dear.
Because
God.
I wanted to stop it from getting to you.
There was stuff on, like, the tiny portion that's designated Nick's desk in there that was, like, moved around. And I was like, that's weird. Why is that?
I was doing it.
So that's what it is. Yeah. The traps are behind there.
All right, hang on. I'm sorry I'm taking my time on this. Let me
see. Listen, you're a nature photographer by heart.
Oh,
you worked for,
my God,
you did the National Geo stuff.
I thought of something.
What?
So in my my little dorm room corner, I have fake succulents, and they every morning I was coming in for a few mornings in a row, and they had come out. They've been up there for months, and they haven't. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're like in little tiny vases.
They're fake succulents.
They're fake succulents in like a tiny.
And they're being pulled out.
And they were all not all of them, but a bunch of them were pulled out. Were on my desk.
Mm. You know what, Steve? He probably is pranking Kathy.
Yeah.
This little mouse knows that you're.
But I wonder if he's crawling up there. Ew!
I would. Don't leave if you have your pocketbook or anything there. Don't leave it unzipped and open.
Oh, so he has. I have seen him the other day. So. So I have on my desk, I have like this little utility hole, essentially where cords and things can come up through.
Right.
And he'll shoot off into the corner. Well, he'll go down in it. Now, it's obscured. I can't see it. But because I know he goes down in it because then I saw him shoot out the bottom and run over to Nick Murphy's desk.
Yeah. So he stays basically on our side of the room.
Yes, but he does venture over. He's ventured over there.
He actually cut together yesterday's Daily Rush, the mouse.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. He's good like that.
So I just looked up real quick because I don't know. I just think of them as like dirty and disgusting, but it says they're actually clean animals who groom themselves several times a day and are less likely than dogs or cats to transmit parasites or viruses.
Okay. All right.
You just want to get them out.
Yeah.
So when you get them out, Steve, do you take them back into the woods behind the office? Or where?
I'm thinking you could
Kathy's
do that.
Kathy's car?
Kathy's car.
No.
Kathy's.
I will run that thing over so quick.
Oh, God.
Maybe back in the woods or by the dumpster, perhaps?
Okay.
No,
we need to take him to Delaware County. Like, we need to get him out of this area. They're going to find their way back.
No, we have our possums there, Kathy.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? This is true. We're having so much construction done on the building.
That's it.
That's what I said from the get-go. Yeah, okay.
You start to open up things, and you start to, and that's what happens. Also, as doors are open up and things are coming in and out, and there's a heat source in the building, they're drawn to it.
Does anybody have that chain of the list of names that we had kicked around once we saw the video of the mouse running on the wall?
It
was in our text, but we started kicking around ideas for names of the mouse because we thought there was only one at the time. Apparently,
there's a whole bunch.
Yeah, genealogy of mice here in our studios. But hang on, I want to go to some calls. I have Barbara online. Hey, Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. I have had a mice infestation.
Okay.
And I didn't realize it because I commute over an hour to work each day. And so when I finally started cleaning out the house, there's mice droppings all through the kitchen, under the stove.
Right.
I screamed. I got everything out, replaced everything into the kitchen. Got to the point I had to throw out my sofa because they were in the sofa.
Okay. Wow. So what did you do?
What did I do? This is... went out and bought the friendly, like, the little hotels for them, the little... Bastards would would eat the peanut butter and would run out. Then I got the thing where they stick to it. They would eat the bait around it.
Right. And then they get stuck and they die in the trap. We don't want to do that.
So finally ended up doing, and this is the best I could do, I got the green poison.
Yeah, that's going to kill him as well. We don't want to do that.
Right. Like, they're all over my house.
Okay,
right.
So you've got it. Yeah. Have you ever called an exterminator? Listen, if it gets out of control, you got to call. You're going to have to have some help.
I never called the exterminator. I got to the point that I bought off of Amazon two of those electronic things that send out the friendly vibes.
Is that sonic machine?
Does that work?
Oh, my God, it's working. I have one in the basement.
Oh, really? All right, we'll try that maybe. Okay. Yeah. Send them on over to the country station.
Yeah.
Next to you.
And the other thing I had done, and it was so gross, I smashed up the green poison and put peanut butter in it.
Right.
And literally had to pull the oven out from the wall, and it was like a smorgasbord. And it took the little... Sorry, it took the little thing almost 2 weeks till he went to the light and died. So I must have.
That's a horrible goddamn story.
Him over
That's
two
a
weeks.
Horrible goddamn
Barbara,
story.
We're gonna let you go.
Yeah.
Thanks
Barbara,
for the call.
Yeah. Right. You know, I one of my children acted up, and I happened to have some of that poison left. It's like in the M. Night Shyamalan movie where she's slowly putting pine sauce
in the sixth sense
over time.
On a lighter note, I have the list of names that everybody came up with.
They were really bad, by the way.
Yeah, they weren't.
Purposely bad.
They weren't good.
Some of them were
Malston Elliott. Steve Mouserson.
Okay.
Mousy Boy.
Those are dumb.
Kathy Romelso.
That's good.
That's not bad.
Nick Mouselwain. Marissa Mousenada.
That's not bad.
Mouse Murphy. Chuck DeMouso. And Bill Mouston.
Okay.
So those are bad.
Yeah, and then bad. There were like...
There
like
were rock and roll ones.
Yeah.
Oh, there was?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I had said because there used to be an Eddie Van Hamster here.
Oh, here. Yeah.
Which was David Lee Roden.
David Lee Roden.
Yeah.
Pearl Mouse. Big Fish Mouth. Mighty Mouse Mousestones. Mouse Nut Zippers.
Oh, then we started going ska.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Head Voodoo Mouse.
Mouse Bone.
Rat. Bob Mousley. Faith No Mouse.
Bob Mousley's not bad.
I like that.
Dave Mousey Band.
This is stupid.
Rat Hot Chili Peppers.
That's not bad.
Dead Mouse.
You're not a rat.
Oh. Dead Mouse. That was...
Dead Mouse 5.
Dead Mouse 5. Let me go to some other calls. I'm going to go to Greg. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Matt Damon
to you, sir. What's up, Greg?
I haven't heard that in a long time.
It's been a while.
Hey, so I was...
Matt Damon!
I was deployed in Kuwait, and we worked in CHUs, the containerized housing unit kind of things. The containers, and I was, you know, trying to be nice to the mice because, like, give them cheese or whatever. Well, anyway, some guys decided to set up mouse traps, and then they would kill them, and they were like, hey, come here. So I was like, all right. So they, in the back of the of our office area, they had tombstones set up. Here lies Mighty Mouse. Here lies Stuart Little.
So every time were they actually burying them or just making little gravestones?
They would actually bury them, and then a couple of days later we'd have either cats or jackals dig them up and
of course, yeah, because they're going to
go back into the food chain.
But they would make little tombstones, maybe put little tiny flowers or things like that.
Not really flowers. I mean, it's a desert. Where are you going to find a flower?
Yeah, wait, come on,
dude.
Man.
Just play along.
That's stupid. Where would you get flowers?
Hey, what did
desert, man? All right, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
He got offended by your question.
Yeah. What are you, an idiot? Where are you going to get friggin' flowers?
You are on a base, right? I mean, they have food.
We're fighting for you, and you're criticizing me for not getting flowers?
Water.
And you.
Hey, what did that lady say about the green mouse?
I gave it to my children.
No.
The poison.
The poison.
Yeah.
Because we had a mouse issue, and we weren't going to be where the mouse was for a little while.
Yeah.
So I left the poison out for them, and it was that stuff. And so what did she say? Because I was...
It slowly killed him. Didn't it take 2 weeks before the thing died?
She slowly withered this mouse away with poison over time.
She tortured the mouse.
Go back and chastise it.
Yeah.
Hey, shouldn't the building be doing anything about this? Like, at least...
No, why were they doing...
I don't know what the story is.
They can't even keep our windows from going dark.
Maybe it hasn't even been reported. I mean, I've been keeping quiet about it.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And so is Brent Porsche and Jackie Bam Bam. I don't think they've told.
What pisses me off
or complained about it
is that the humane traps I bought are working like gangbusters in the air studio,
but not in our office.
I think it's a bait. I think we need something that.
Now that I know about it, maybe you could, like. Are they too hidden? Like maybe you can put them out in the.
Well, we have them in the path that we've seen. There's one, possibly two. I think I know what it is.
He saw you putting them out, and he's like, "I'm not falling for this." He actually saw you do it.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Hang on a second here. So Tracy's got a bait suggestion. Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up, Trace?
I kill them. I'm sorry. There's too many of them. They have too many babies. Just get rid of them.
Okay.
I use Ritz crackers and peanut butter.
All right. Which is a great snack for humans, too.
Is that naturally lethal to mice? How do you kill them?
With the trap.
All right.
Yeah. But at least you're giving them a nice last meal.
Tracy, do you do the old school mouse trap with the bar that swings over? Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I just can't.
Yeah, I can't do that one.
I think of the Green Mile. I think of the little guy, and he's listen. I get it. I understand. I just try to get him outside.
You know what though? Because the food that you put in the mouse trap is because I have the mouse trap. It's the kind that they go into, and then they die.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put a little food outside first so that they actually do get a little bit of a meal before I kill them.
I have a whole bunch of humane ones if you want them.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't want to... I'm not an animal killer or anything like that either, but I don't want them to...
Live.
Hey, Kathy, I'm sitting here looking at him. He's cleaning himself right now.
Is he?
He's been doing it, Kathy.
Yeah, he's grooming. He's got nothing else to do. He's sitting here in this trap. So,
I mean, should we get like a hamster cage with some wheels and just keep it as a pet?
As a pet? I don't. Who the hell are you?
Where did that come from?
It's in a box.
She's running a zebra preserve over in Africa.
Yeah, I don't want it running around my feet and all my things.
You went from I'm going to run it over in the parking lot to let's keep it as a pet.
I just mean perhaps we can confine.
Perhaps you can train them to do circus acts and go on the road.
I know what she's saying. Contained. As opposed to taking it outside and letting
free
it go
range.
Where it might
it's gonna come back in.
Make its way back in. Speaking of that, hang on. Brian wants to comment on that. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy, what's up?
Yeah, the humane traps are great, but unless you're going to release that mouse like a few miles down the road, it's going to come right back in. Yeah. It's going to find its way back in.
Well, that's what I thought.
I mean, ultimately, it's going to... Listen, you get it out far enough...
you know what? We should do what Pierre does. Let's hire him a limo, right? Put him in the back of the limo.
Send him up to
Martha's Vineyard or something like that.
It's nice. Well, you know what? How about the Keys? Because it's warmer this
time
of year.
Thanks, Brian. You're right.
Go south.
Yeah.
let's see. I will go to Dennis. Hi, Dennis. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What's up, bud?
All right, so my wife and I, we had a little bit of a mouse problem from a house connected to us a few years ago. And I agree, I love mice. I think they're adorable, but I don't want them in my house.
Right.
And we have a dog that's a hunter. She's a Tree and Walker Coonhound, and she noticed something. And we knew there was at least one in the house, and there were like three of them. And I had to make a tough decision. So I had a Swiffer, and I was like James Van Riemsdyk on the power play. Oh, I had to punch him across the room to like stun him. And I don't know if I killed him. I think I at least knocked him out and I got him out of the house that way.
So it was a Swiffer.
Decision, yeah. I don't want him in my house, you know?
I know. And we don't want him in the office and obviously droppings and stuff like that. We don't want them. We certainly don't want them procreating.
Yeah.
But if we can right now have a shot at getting them out in the humane way, I'd like to try that Sonic thing. I've heard other people say it doesn't work,
right.
But I forget the caller's name who was murdering them in the most inhumane fashion. She swore by it.
So. I'm going to go to Ed. Hi, Ed. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Ed?
Hey, so I was at my desk one day talking on the phone, and I'm hearing a rattling next to my donut box. I'm thinking nothing of it, but then I keep hearing it. I look in, you know, on top of the donut box, it has a cellophane cover.
Yeah.
I look down in it. There's a mouse chewing on a donut.
Oh,
I don't know how it got in the box, but it got in the box and showing. So I told the other guys, "Come on over here, check this out." We looked at it for a few minutes. Then I took it outside and just let it go.
Yeah, I know.
Live and let live.
You put it in a limo and send it to Cape Cod.
Remember the old school cartoons that you would see where they put a cup there or a bowl and a stick and a string. and put a cheese on it and trap it that way. I actually did it that way one time.
Oh, really?
Like super old school.
The old string on the box routine.
Yeah.
Or the stick in the box, huh?
I stuck a piece of cardboard underneath it, flipped it. We looked at it for a couple minutes, me and the kids, and then I took it out and threw it out in the field.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. So we got to figure out where we're going to put this little guy.
Well, there's woods back in the...
in the back part of the parking lot.
I don't think that's far enough. Honestly, like from calls and texts, I think it needs to go a few more miles away. So Kathy will drive him home and we'll...
No,
I think we can let him up back.
I'm sure we can. I mean, he's got to get back up to the fourth floor.
Totally. Yeah. Yes, he's got to make it across the gigantic parking lot.
Without getting
eaten by a hawk. Into the building.
Right, yeah.
And then he's got to get up to the fourth floor.
Doesn't even have a pass.
Find our suite on the fourth floor. Get through the magnetic doors.
Right.
Buttons on the elevator, Kathy.
Stop. Maybe he's not going to make it right into this suite, but he's going to make it back into the building.
We just care about our area.
Yeah. Oh, no. Come on.
And you know what happens? If he passes Bill's going to make him come to our conference, our meeting this morning.
That should keep him
out. If we take him and put him up on the roof, he'll go and chew through the wires and cause our windows to tint at 8:15 a.m. each day. I don't know. But we should probably film our release.
All right. We should definitely. And let's
being let go.
Let's switch then the bait in the current humane traps in our office.
When you when you see mice in pet stores, they're usually used for like snake food, right? Do people ever bring those mice home as actual pets?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, I can't watch that. I know it's part of nature. I know the rat, the snake needs to live. I get it. It's part of the big process.
Yeah.
I could never have a pet where I'd have to feed another living pet to it.
Yeah, so you're saying we should get a snake?
Yes, maybe that'll be better. That'll solve the problem.
Yeah, sometimes like aquariums, you have to feed goldfish, those other fish.
I had a dog for a while I had to feed cats to.
Right. Wow.
And it's just, it was so hard.
And that didn't desensitize you?
Yeah, I said, I can't do this anymore.
Okay. All right, well, we got a little mouse here.
All right.
This is definitely not the same one, Steve. He's smaller.
He's got a mustache.
Than our buddy in the office, so... we'll release him later on, but...
our one in the office, Kathy, is huge.
Oh, stop!
He's got, like, a white prehensile tail.
Wait, is it really big?
It's big. No, he's like that.
He's a little bit bigger than this guy. Yeah. This guy's a baby.
All right, we'll let him out.
We sent Nick out with the humane trap, and let's go to him now. Hang on a second.
As free as the wind.
We're going to release.
As free as the grass grows.
We are going to release him to
follow your heart.
Free into the.
Now, mind you.
Into the wilderness.
This was about lions, mice.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Sure.
Kill him.
There have been fables of mice and lions living together.
In fact,
together.
The great John Steinbeck novel of mice and lions.
All right. What was the one where there was a thorn? And the lion's paw.
And the mouse removes it.
And then
they become buddies.
Lion eats the mouse.
Lion eats the mouse. Kathy wants it. Let's do this before Kathy demands that we kill this animal. Nick McWayne, are you there?
Yeah, it's pretty windy and cold out here. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah. It's a little bit, it's breaking up a little bit, but you are correct. It is a windy. We can hear the wind. So where exactly are you in our One Bella Plaza parking area?
We went all the way up above the back parking lot, and there's sort of a wooded area back there. And,
okay.
We're going to let him go back here. He is adorable. He's a really cute little thing. And that music was majestic.
And by the way, this area that Nick is in, we've done tons of stuff out this way. We've done, we've ridden Segways.
Yes.
And we've...
archery.
We've flipped cars over and archery. And this is kind of our area to go and do stuff away from the building.
And since this is technically a field mouse.
Yeah.
This is a field. Yeah.
You rode a penny farthing out there.
That's right. I did ride a penny
farthing. We did.
Farthing.
And I believe at one point we also threw deceased ashes and ashes of the deceased loved one into a woodchipper.
Yes. Okay. In fact, I had half a mouthful of that dead body because it blew back in my face.
All right, let's. Somebody, Bob's on the line, says we should tag the mouse. Somebody recommended we spray paint his tail so we will know if he comes back in. But it's too late for that.
We'll just do the honor system, and if we ask him, we expect him to tell us.
Correct. All right, Nick, are you ready to release him?
Yeah. So I'm going to hand Connor the phone.
Nick is now leaning down. He is removing one end of the trap, and, okay, he's about to open it. He's setting it down to the ground.
You've got
to. And let's see what happens. He's opened the gate. Let's see if the mouse.
He's hanging.
He's hanging.
Oh, here he... Oh, he's sticking
sticking his little nose out.
He's got to check and make sure it's safe, okay?
Tell if that whoever has the cameras right in front of the opening, you're probably scaring the little feller. He's coming out now.
Hey, Nick, tell him that go that way to Mouseville.
Point that right.
He's just
gone.
He's going now.
Oh my God! I'm gonna cry. Look at him, Nick. He's running off deep into the woods now, isn't he?
He's heading in the right direction. He's going to Mouseville. Headed to freedom.
Oh my God, did you see what just happened?
No.
There were 10 other mice camouflaged, standing, just like in Harry and the Hendersons.
And they came out at the end of their family. We've reunited them. All right, Nick, thank you very much.
Oh, man. I don't think that could have gone any better.
It was perfect. Well, come on back in.
We probably should have given him a coat or something.
They're field mice. So what's going to happen is he's going to find where there are areas back there where he can go, but he's got – this is where he's from, man.
Actually, I would have been horrified, but it still would have been funny if a red-tailed hawk would have
swooped down.
Oh, it's not the first time stuff like that has happened.
Yeah, I've seen where they've one time there were bird watchers watching this extremely rare bird in this area, and sure enough,
boom,
a predator bird came in and just snatched it and ate it.
There's a video, and it's made its way onto America's Funniest Home Videos, too, where they raise this monarch butterfly, and it's beautiful. Oh, it's like, oh, my God, let it go, and it flies up, and boom, a bird nails in a few,
wow,
few seconds.
All right, well, we let him go.
All right.
Yes!
He's on his own now. Hopefully he has not been spoiled or domesticated here, and can forage, what was
forage?
Forage in the wild. Thank you. And survive.
I think we did give him a good shot. They're field mice, and they'll find their deal. But, I mean, here we're just trying to get them out of the building without killing them.
Yep. You guys remember the tale of Little Bunny Fufu?
I do not.
Scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head.
Bopping
through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head.
That's Kathy, then. That's right. That's your perfect start for you. Anything that allows you to murder small animals.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, with that, all right, anyhow, thank you for bringing him in her case. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. And the Bizarre File is on the way, so stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey. Volbeat. Jelly Roll.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I was just thinking about some stuff, and I know we've done sports movie, you know, conversations before. Who's your favorite coach?
Oh.
Well, Herb Brooks in Miracle is pretty good. I mean,
in a sports movie.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. In a League of Their Own.
Jimmy Dugan. I go back to Gene Hackman and Hoosiers.
That's mine.
Was pretty damn amazing.
I like Wilford Brimley in The Natural.
Okay.
He was fond of Billy Goats.
Or as a
Nanny Goats.
Nanny goes, yeah, my girlfriend referred to him as Wilbur Diabetes. But it's Wilford Brimley.
Ooh, man, I'm
Bovine Joby.
Because I like Henry Winkler in The Waterboy.
He's great.
Oh, my God. I'm not going for inspiration here. I'm just going for who I like.
I know. If you're talking about who gives the real inspiration.
Buttermaker's pretty great.
Who brings it?
Estevez.
Buttermaker.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Oh, my God. Mighty Ducks.
But you know who's often quoted is Al Pacino on Any Given Sunday.
That's an interesting take on football. You got who was the one who was just on the tip of my tongue?
Al Pacino.
No, not Al Pacino. It was a great one. Damn it. And now I can't remember.
You ruined it with Al Pacino.
Denzel Washington in Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
That's one of the great ones
It's a great one, yeah.
Man, I wish I would have known we were going into this.
You would have pulled together a list.
I threw it on you. How about Nick Nolte in Blue Chips?
That's a good one.
That was the... That was an interesting movie.
And that was when Nolte had less of that. It's gotten exponentially. You could actually understand him, you know, but now, you know, though he was really good, Preston, on The Mandalorian, his voice
was. He was.
Oh, I play an old character.
This is not a popular opinion. I'm not a big fan of Hoosiers.
Wow.
And I probably should probably go back and watch it. But texturally, it's not an inviting movie to me. You know, it's I don't really care because of its time period
and it's out in the middle of nowhere and that
the
whole
lighting
thing
in the movie kind of like throws me off a little bit. It's it's a depressing movie.
Yes, well, it takes place in the fall. It's cloudy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give you that.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's an alcoholic father and some depressing things that take place in that movie. But the one thing I love about Hoosiers is the fact that the kids who star on the team, go look up their IMDb.
Yeah.
It's the only thing they ever did. They were just basketball players.
Right.
Like the movie, Nick, you were talking about.
Miracle.
Yeah. Those guys were all hockey players. The only guy that was an actor was a guy who played Jim Craig.
Yes.
And, of course, they put somebody in goal who didn't need to skate around.
Yeah, he was on Friends, too, that actor. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But I love that about Hoosiers. Those guys were just basketball players. And they taught them how to act.
Do you know what Hoosiers does?
A great job.
Well, also is that there are, listen, if you, we can go through the topic of just sports movies in general and even atypical sports movies that convey, you know, because ultimately, you know, it says a lot about who we are. But when they walk onto the court and they're looking at the,
oh, yeah,
you know, that whole sequence.
Coach comes to their defense.
Right. Yeah.
And it's interesting because his background in the movie was he punched another kid and got fired from his job.
Yeah.
And they the town didn't know about that.
I got two for you. Baseball. Larry in Bull Durham and Lou Brown in Major League. Both great coaches.
Lou Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him the heater.
Yeah.
From Bull Durham. You're right. That's right.
Yeah,
you lollygag around the base.
Trey something was that actor's name.
Lollygaggers. Hang on a second. Let me go. Oh, wait. There was another one. Now they're all popping up in my head. Hang on. You got to be kidding me. Let me go to Jared. Hey, Jared.
Yes.
All right. So what do you think? Coach, favorite coach.
I'm thinking Danny Glover as George Knox in Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield. They were real angels out there, weren't they?
I never saw that movie.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It's cute.
Okay.
It's based on a true story.
How about Goldie Hawn in Wildcats?
She's good?
Yeah. I really like that one.
What you look for, I think what really for me determines it, is that how are they at the speech? Every movie culminates in the speech.
Yes. Yeah.
In the "this is the big game" speech.
So I'm glad you mentioned that because there's a scene in the movie McFarlane USA.
Great movie.
Where he's Kevin Costner's the coach, and he was a football coach. He ended up creating a track team because they didn't have a track team. He saw these kids could run. But when he's talking about these guys don't know what it's like to be you. They don't get up in the morning and work before school and then, you know, run all these miles after him, blah, 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 and he just really puts it in him. That's a pretty solid coach position and a really good speech.
Listen to me. I'm Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
You guys ever coach any?
No. No one would trust me with that.
So did I ever tell you about the game that I coached last year?
Did you deliver a speech?
No. Okay. So our team wasn't very good. We did end up winning one game last year.
That's awesome.
Oh, it is. It's great. And the way we won was really great because we were like down by five with a couple of minutes left and then it was like a full court thing. And
come here, guys, I want you to take these pills.
Okay. Oh my God.
Who here knows how to swallow a pill? Okay. You probably shouldn't
chew
these.
We'll crush these up for you. Oh my God.
Who's good at snorting?
Come in close, guys. Who can take these pills?
Wow.
Listen, we were playing one team and we were getting smoked. Okay. So, I called a timeout and I said to the guys, I'm like, we're just going to have some fun. I said, Peter, you get to do your grandmom shot, blah, blah, blah. Right. Yeah. So we were losing by so much that the team that was playing against us was not allowed to guard us outside of the 3-point arc. That's how bad we were losing.
Right.
Wow.
So for the next 5 minutes after that timeout, we just clowned around. And so Peter was shooting between his legs. And I was allowing half court shots,
Right, and it was your final game.
No, but it didn't really even matter.
It was the championship.
It was the season opener.
So our kids were playing really loose. They were.
Anybody need some more pills?
They were having a lot of fun, smiling, laughing. It didn't matter that we were we were losing by 20, 30 points. I mean, we were losing.
They
were enjoying it, and then the other team started enjoying themselves.
Yay.
Right. And
they wanted the pills, too.
Well, the other coach didn't really care for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that wasn't met with the general joy of the sport.
Guess who didn't care? This guy. Yeah. I don't care what the other coach thinks. I don't care what, you know. And then, so.
Good for you.
So I allowed the kids to just, you know, mess around. And then when we got back from halftime, all right, let's, you know, I let you guys have your fun. Now let's play basketball or whatever. But the best part about that whole thing was after the game was over, when we were in the lobby, the kid from the other team goes, "That was the best basketball game I ever played." Yes, he had so much. I was like, well, then isn't that really all that matters?
Casey, you know what?
Yeah.
You won.
Yeah.
You guys won.
Right?
Good for you.
Though I mean, you were
If they were technically way better than you guys. Yeah. And listen, fight and play hard, and you had other games that you did that, but might as well have some fun. At that age, especially.
Especially,
I mean, come on.
I used to coach cheerleading, and one of the girls called me a bitch, and I was like,
what? Whoa! Nuh-uh.
Like, head explode.
And
did you go nuts?
What happened?
Give me back those pills.
Bitch.
No. So what did you do?
She was like benched for, I forget how long I benched her for or whatever, but I was in college and I was coaching the local high school team.
So you're not like a year old, 2 years older than
I
they were.
I was like not very much older than them.
Do your impression of how she, what you were saying so to him, how she fired back to you.
So she said it under her breath. Oh, she was like, they were sitting on the stands and, or they're sitting in the stands at a basketball game, and she like kind of just said it under her breath, and I was like, whipped around. I was like, that's not going to happen.
Steve, all of a sudden, get down here and choke yourself with my hand.
Leave bone on my hand.
She turns into Colonel Sergeant.
You. What's your name, fat body?
Wait, you want to know a great story? That team that I think I only did it for 1 year, but I did all of the sports, and one of those girls that I coached ended up on our hottie cam when we were in the old studio. And I was like, she was like, "Oh, Coach Romano." She's like, "Do you remember me?" And I was like, "Oh, no, now you have no clothes on." Shoot.
Are you know, little maggot? You make me want to
You know who's a good coach, Preston? And you'll agree?
Oh.
Who becomes a good coach? Walter Matthau and the Bad News Bears.
Buttermaker.
The original Bad News Bears. And they put the kid in. And Vic Morrow is the coach of the other team who's blood and guts. And he's, you know, and he just says, listen, if we lose, but we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes through a whole thing where he starts off really not caring.
He could care less.
And then after a while, they get Kelly Leak.
Yeah.
And then he starts to care and guide them. And then he takes it too far. Then he starts getting pissed
off. Don't you want to win?
Yeah. And they were like, whoa, what happened to you? And then he reeled it back and turned into, all right, we're just going to have a good time type of thing.
Here's the deal. I played on a football team for two straight seasons where we did not win a game, okay? And I got to tell you categorically, doesn't matter. It does not matter. Like, we had, like, a great time. And, you know, obviously, you know, winning a championship is pretty great. But, like,
let's have
a little fun.
I played on a little league game. It was the Phils up in New York. And we won every game. And it was boring because they never let there were just like Kelly Leak, Preston, a few kids who played.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not for the fun of the game. It was a banner and a trophy and all that crap.
Yeah. It's like once you get to Teen Wolf, once he's on your team.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Speaking of which, that coach was pretty awesome.
He was pretty great.
What were his three rules? What's that?
What were his three rules?
Never play cards with a guy who has the same name as a city. Never date a woman who has a tattoo of a dagger on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the other one.
Don't feed them after midnight.
No, it's something like don't wake up before
you go. It was always get 10 hours, never get less than 10 hours of sleep.
Something like that.
Never play cards with a guy with the same name as the city and never date a woman with a dagger tattoo or something like that. I love how he's like, hey, don't forget, you can come in here and talk to me anytime at all.
Yeah.
Mi casa su casa. And he comes in, he's like, I'm a little busy right now. Hang on a second. There are a few people that are texting in this. I'm going to go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Lisa. What's up?
I thought Ed Harris in Radio was great.
A few people are texting it. I never saw the movie Radio. I know what it's about.
I did, and I don't remember.
Oh, you have to see it. It's great.
Radio is Cuba Gooding Jr., right?
Yes.
I don't remember. Yeah. So he's really good in that?
Yeah, great coach in that.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I like
you.
That.
I have to look up that.
I like Ed Harris in general.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
He's playing Jackson Pollock in that as a coach.
He was? Wow. What are you doing over there, coach?
Painting.
We had a game out here.
I know, but look.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty breaking good. All the rules of
but look,
of I'm art. Tearing down art barriers over here.
It's a game going on.
That's a painting of the game.
That's our coach over there.
He's painting.
He's painting. Splatter painting. I'm going to go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
That ain't you.
That ain't you. Yeah. Hey, Jason. Hang on.
I love Billy Bob Thornton and Friday Night Lights.
That ain't you.
You're right. Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. Very, and he was playing Sling Blade in that.
I never saw. He breaks the news to him that way.
Let's let Sling Blade tell him.
God's moves.
I never saw Friday Night Lights.
It's good. It's good. It's not one of my. Again, you can have a substandard or just sports movie.
Was that? I don't want your.
No,
wife.
That's Varsity Blues.
Yes. Varsity Blues. Okay.
I don't like your wife.
I like your Varsity
mom.
Blues.
Varsity
I don't
Blues like has my mom.
Varsity Blues has its moments, but it also has some really two-dimensional acting. And the coach in that one is John Voight, and he's the stereotypical, I'm a bully coach. I'm going to get the worst out of my best of my players by being the worst coach possible and being a jerk. And so, like, that movie's all right.
All right. Who's the best jerk coach? Because there's always a good coach.
Okay,
and a jerk
I got one.
Coach.
Yeah. In fact, it was going to. So, the. It's the Robbie Benson movie where he's.
Yeah, breaking away. No, not breaking away. Breaking the rules. One on one.
One on one.
Son of a bitch.
And that guy is the he's
senator.
He's in Godfather 2. Yeah.
He's always a jerk.
Up your ass with your red eye poker.
The jerk coach. How about Red Bow U from the Waterboy? That was Jerry Reed.
Yes, I love that scene in the 70s where he shows up at the door and they've got the big bell bottoms on. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's the best. Casey, the other coach in Wildcats. And that was Bruce McGill, I think, played him.
Okay.
I mentioned Vic Morrow in the original Bad News Bears. His own son, who was, I think, Brandon Cruz, Eddie, in The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Yep.
Freaks out.
It's not a great movie, but Ed O'Neill plays a jerk coach in Little Giants with Rick Moranis, and Ed O'Neill's the bad guy in that one. So I think that makes it into the list.
You know who's a dick coach? The coach in charge of the reindeer in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It was Donner.
We're not. Hey, he has a physical abnormality. Let's ignore him.
And laugh at him.
Point and laugh.
I bet he's mentally slow.
He's disabled.
Let's castigate him and send him out into the snow to die. Hey, look, he's different. Kill him.
Let's all trample on him.
Yeah, trample on him. Yeah, kill him now. When your antlers come in, more will all gather together and gore him to death.
Wow. They were just kids at that
point. Yeah, we didn't have enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was look, he's different. Kill him now.
What was the name of the diving coach from Back to School? What was his real name? That guy.
The actor's name?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. He was in several movies. Why?
I liked him.
You liked him as a head coach?
I liked him a lot.
I liked him.
Coach Turnbull, is that who it is?
Yeah.
Emmett Walsh.
Yeah, that guy was in a lot of movies.
Emmett Walsh is a great, he's actually in the Coen brothers, the Simple.
A Simple Plan?
Blood Simple, yeah. He is a great character actor.
We're pulling up.
You know,
his
he is
IMDb.
He's in The Jerk.
He's the guy who shoots at Navin.
Yes.
In The Jerk. Navin Johnson.
Somebody hates these cans of oil.
That's right.
He hates more cans.
Wait a minute. He was in something called Captain America Civil War Reenactors. That sounds hilarious. And he was the pool manager. It was a short, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Captain America, Civil War reenactors.
I like that.
I like it. All right.
I like it that.
I'm trying to think of other jerk coaches who would have been, you know, like the coach. Well,
an obvious one.
Well, there was a movie called hang on to the obvious one, Tom Cruise when he was really, really young. And was it Craig T. Nelson? who was the coach of the football team.
Yeah.
And he shuts him down completely. And in fact, doesn't allow. He starts to spread rumors about him when colleges were starting to
Terry O'Quinn's in that movie, right? Is it All the Right Moves?
The Right Moves.
Yeah. Friday Night Blues.
Yeah, that was it. And it was Craig T. Nelson. He was a real a-hole in that one.
The obvious one has been in the studio, and you guys are watching a current version of him right now. We all are.
We're watching a current version of the actor right now. We all are.
Karate Kid?
There it is.
Oh.
Martin Cove.
Yeah.
I mean, coach? Ultimate. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a coach.
Sensei, coach, whatever.
Sensei. Yeah.
Because we could do a whole, extra topic of senseis.
He's turned flat out evil, man.
Yeah, I mean he's
evil on that show.
Gets off on kids fighting each other.
Yeah.
Has no one pointed that out to the police?
There's something there. Yeah. It's not put the cart before the horse here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It can be fun.
Let me go to some other calls. I have Alex. Hi, Alex. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Yeah, James Gunn in the program probably had two of the best one-liners when he says, when did 80,000 people show up to watch a kid take a chemistry experiment? Are you injured or are you just hurt? And making Omar Epps get up and tough it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever taken anything away from sometimes those movies when they, or the a good script, and that's why it's, you can take away little life lessons. I've been picked up and empowered by something I saw in a sports movie.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. They're very, they can be
the
very
natural.
Inspiring.
Though the natural as a movie, it's completely different than the book. The book ends, he sells out. He totally rolls over and takes the money.
Did you guys see the Ben Affleck movie, The Way Back, the basketball movie?
I did.
I liked most of it. I didn't like all of it. I thought he was really great in it.
He was great. I wanted to like it a bit more.
Yeah. I was hoping for just a little bit more.
He had a really decent method for keeping his beers cold.
He did. His rotation method.
Because he was such a heavy beer drinker, he would take a beer out of the freezer, right? And that would be the beer they drank. And then he took a beer out of the fridge and put that in the freezer. And so in the time that he was drinking the beer, whatever beer he put in the freezer got even colder, but wouldn't freeze because he would drink a case of beer.
But that's where you get that sort of sad, like Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers is this guy who's just...
Dude, Casey, he was a hard drinker in that movie. You're right, and I thought that was an interesting little system.
He's always got a really ice-cold beer.
Cold beer ready to go. Let's see. Hang on a second. Somebody wants to mention the TV show Friday Night Lights. I'm going to go to James. James, good morning.
Hey, what's up, pal?
Yo, bud. What'd you want to share?
All right, so Kyle Chandler from the TV series Friday Night Lights played Coach Eric Taylor. I think he was one of the best coaches for a TV series.
No, you're right. That show was great.
I watched it for a while.
Far better than the movie. And he was a top-level coach. It was a great performance.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
A lot of chocolate donuts.
Go next to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
What's up, bitches?
Yo, bitch. All right. What do you think? Great. Your favorite coach from a movie?
Paul Newman in Slapshot.
Reggie Dunlop. Yes.
And, he's a guy who goes through a transformation, too. And that's cool,
Well, for a moment, he does.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's scouts out there? And they go crazy again. That's such a great movie. I wonder if that's got legs at all nowadays. I haven't watched it in years.
Some of them carry through. Some of them where it's such a pure... Yeah, I think it would.
It's a pure subject matter.
It was subversive when it came out, it was considered... Like, really subversive.
It's based on a team out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
By the way, the Chiefs are. Charlestown Chiefs. Who owned the Chiefs? And the whole thing, I remember reading the story about it one time, but it was a minor league hockey team here in Pennsylvania, somewhere, I think, out towards western PA.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just brutal. Just horribly, horribly brutal. And so they felt the movie would be about it. Or be good about it. Gene Hackman in The Replacements. We have some texts coming in about that.
I like The Replacements.
He's good in that.
I think that's a fun movie.
Yep.
A good diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Dangerfield and Ladybugs. Come on.
That movie is so terrible, but I will watch it when it's on. That kid later committed suicide. The kid who's...
Yeah, Jonathan Brandis.
He was in that show Sequest, and he was a good actor, and
yeah.
So sad.
Didn't mean to bring the Ladybugs fans down.
Let me go to Ed. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Ed?
Rudy.
Rudiger. All right, so which coach? There were two coaches in that movie, the first one or the second one?
Yeah, the first one who was great, and the second one actually pitched in Major League down the line.
You're right. Yeah. Up your butt, Joe Boo. That was him.
Neither coach was as good as the custodian who really got
That's
him.
That's the one who's the Michael Dutton, right? Is that who it is?
Charles Dutton. Yeah.
And he, the movie is, the script is broadly written, but it's still good, you know?
What, Rudy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, yeah, they take some liberties.
And right. Favreau's in it.
Yep.
And Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's an awful movie. It's just the worst.
Nick hates that movie.
I hate that movie.
Though Regis Philbin loved it, you know.
You hate that movie because you hate Notre Dame.
Yeah, actually, I think the movie's really cheesy, too. I just don't really care for it.
Okay.
It just didn't speak to me. But and also, I hate Notre Dame, so two reasons.
What I hate is the fact that Rudy's family wouldn't believe him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
You pieces of crap.
Your brother.
Right. Fighting Irish fans are like Yankees fans. It's too easy. Or Cowboys fans.
Let's see. All right. There's a few of these I'm going to go to. And they're both named Tom. Two guys named Tom. Here's the first Tom that called in. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. I think this guy won an Oscar for his role, but Mick in Rocky, Burgess Meredith.
Mickey, I guess he'd qualify. Yeah,
he win an Oscar?
He did for Rocky.
I didn't
Best
know
Supporting
that.
Actor. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he won it for the third movie. No.
The one he was dead in?
I don't feel so good. I think I got a little bit of the... I got my uterus hurts.
Thanks,
You don't
Tom.
Have one of those, Rocky. Mickey, you don't have a uterus.
I don't. What I got a hysterectomy for?
Even Rocky knows that.
I'm stupid. I know you don't got a hysterectomy. You don't need one. You don't got an uterus.
What?
You don't got an uterus.
What's that, Rock?
You don't got an uterus.
Uterus?
I tell you, I think I got to have mine removed.
You don't got one. Men do not have uteruses.
Men do not have uteruses.
Men, it's truth. Men do not got uteruses.
All right, here's Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
That ripped porn from Dodgeball.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Do you remember the rules of Dodgeball? Isn't it duck, dodge? There's like three, and dodge is twice in the list. Well, Nick, if you can,
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Right.
I do know that. What was that character's name? Joe, do you remember?
Patches,
that's it.
Patches.
Yes, and it was Hank Azaria who played him in the younger version. Yeah.
I love when they're going through the casino and the Luck of the Irish light thing above the slot machine falls down and crushes Patches O'Houlihan.
Okay.
Yeah. Dodge, and then, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
And then the jerk coach in that movie would have been Ben Stiller's character.
Yes.
Who was just fantastic all the way around. All right. Anyhow.
In your face, LeFleur.
Thought it would be worth chit-chatting about. But listen, I want to take a break, and we will be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the name Lou Ottens probably means nothing to you on the surface, but it actually should.
It's tattooed on my ass, actually.
Well,
it's my stamp.
You're a big you're a big music fan, so yeah. I understand. Lou Ottens is the guy who put music lovers around the world on a path towards playlists and mixtapes by leading the invention of the very first cassette tape, and he passed away at the age of 94 yesterday.
It was
in the Netherlands.
It was a revelation.
Yeah, I told you guys the radio station I grew up listening to in St. Louis was called KSHE 95. And on Sunday nights, they had this program. It was called The Seventh Day. And on the seventh day on Sunday, they would play albums in their entirety. Mm. And that's what you heard what the lineup was. You got your tape ready. And you didn't have to buy the record, man. It was awesome.
Oh, my God. I remember the cassette player that I had in my bedroom. It wasn't like a traditional one. It was big. It had big, huge speakers on the side. I think it was transitioning from cassettes to CDs. So I had both. So it was really loud. I could play loud music. I took it to college with me. Like, it was great. And I'm pretty sure what I did was I put,
so being in a sorority.
I put the CD in and would play it. So I would borrow CDs from people, and then I would hit record on the cassette player so that I could make a mix from somebody else's CDs.
Didn't Lou Turks back when, you know, during like the Day Strippers, didn't they just have a boombox on the thing that...
I'm not sure.
Okay, because I had never...
Whatever's left, I'll do tomorrow. I'm not going to talk anymore, so have a nice safe trip and be good. Don't have any kids or anything. And I'll leave you the rest of this music, okay? This next song, Think of Me, this is one of the songs I went nuts to with the date dance.
The guy was into you. The guy was into you.
Totally. You were going on a trip.
I was going to my uncle's.
He's making this for you to listen along the way.
Yep, I was going to my uncle's wedding in San Diego.
Okay,
yep.
So and Think of Me.
Let's see. Anybody want to guess what song it might be?
Okay, all right, Think of Me. Wait, what year is this?
This is 96.
Nine Inch Nails, Closer.
Wow, I want to have you like an animal.
I'm thinking.
Wow.
You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
No. If you're on the road thinking a more wistful song.
Crash Into Me by Dave Matthews.
Yeah, let's go with that.
That's a good one.
I'm voting for Nick's choice.
I'm with you on that.
All right, let's see what we get. Here we go. Hang on.
Oh, The Cure. Good song.
Yeah.
Dude, I was so hoping for Crash Into Me.
All right.
Or it all.
Let's go one more and see where we get, and see if Mike's got another message for us.
Indigo Girls.
Oh, excellent. Go. Yeah, Galileo. Great song.
And as the bombshells of my daily. I think the Indigo Girls are one of the more underrated
bands
of all time.
Their harmonies are fantastic. Yeah. But they did lean very female, so he was speaking to Kathy's sensibilities.
Yes.
He was definitely in a
you like lesbians
in a feminine mode. Jesus,
do you talk to either of these guys, Kath?
Yeah, I still talk to Jay occasionally. Like I said, when he comes back to the East Coast, Mike, I just recently connected with on Facebook.
Still there. Hang on a second. Fast forward. If you're just tuning in, the inventor of the cassette died. Lou Ottens was his name. He was 94. So we're taking a stroll through Kathy's cassette world.
Here we go.
What's next? This is from Mike to Kathy. Their mixtape. Crimson and Clover from Joan Jett. That's a love song.
That is too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got did a you? Dumb. I didn't. I handed that over, and I was like, "No, we were just friends."
All right. Wow. And there's this. There was more import in this than you were aware of.
It wasn't like we'll always be bosom buddies.
100%.
Wherever we go.
Oh my God! What an idiot. Stop.
All right, hang on a second. Was it a Fish song?
No, it was Baby, I Love Your Way.
Is this Fish?
Yeah. Susie Greenberg. Oh, my God, this is what my cat was named after. That song right there.
Casey, that's playing on her mixtape.
Oh, my. That's pretty wild. But Susie.
I didn't register at all with him. I was like, dude,
this guy should have been with you.
I was too busy queuing up a joke song.
I know, and you let the love of your life walk right out that door.
But dude, Susie's about as faithful as a slot machine. Pays off once in a while, but then she'll rob you clean.
Oh no.
Kath.
That's what the lyrics are in this song?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Oh geez.
We'll get one more and then we're gonna have to take a break in a second here, but this was from Mike to Kathy.
No, to Kathy. Love Michael.
And we never got to Kathy's dance party. Man, I want to hear that, too.
We don't have time to just sample one or two?
Throw it in real quick.
You know? Okay, there's also people waiting on the phone. Sorry about that.
Hold on. Oh, I thought he was talking. All right, never mind. Okay. All right, yes. Captain Dance Save Party.
I used to love when I first started listening to the radio, Preston, when you would hear the actual DJ moving stuff around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'd hear, like, the, you know, the record coming out of the jacket.
Here we go. Kathy's Dance Party. It's got some bass to it. Oh, I know what this is. It's a dance mix of New Shoes. I Can't Wait.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Or no. Never mind. It's Madonna.
Madonna.
Oh. Express yourself. Express yourself.
Nick, you might want to sit down for this one.
You're the second best, baby. Don't you love to the test? You know, you got to make him express something. You know your love is real. Express yourself.
Playing in my bedroom. This was like the older version of the hairbrush. Like this would be playing when, you know, I was getting ready to go.
The mood.
Yeah, meet my friends at the mall.
Right. All right, I'm going to fast forward this and see where we are. Hang on a second here. It's a dance mix, so I'm sure it's longer than normal. So I got to let it go a little bit here. Hang on. Come on.
Bets on what the next.
All right, Madonna.
Hey. Around this time, what else would she put on? Take a guess.
This would be, wow.
Would she follow up with another Madonna song?
I'm sorry, what year is this?
This is probably, has to be 96, I guess.
Oh, really?
All right.
I think so.
All right, hang on a second.
Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper, all right.
Oh.
Jackson 5.
Jackson 5.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Who doesn't love this song? Hang on.
I think this might have been for a party.
Your bestie, Elisa, is on the line right now. Elisa, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, it says here you got some dirt on the mixtape, on the breakup.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Sister Kathy over there always comes off so clean and innocent. But, Kath, don't you want to tell them what happened previous to making that mixtape for the breakup?
What are you talking
about? Oh, my God. Okay. No, we're just going to let you tell us. Go ahead.
You know, she spent a little time alone with her boyfriend at my house and then decided to break up and felt so bad and had to make the mixtape. So.
No, I didn't break up. He broke up with me.
Oh,
remember,
right.
He broke up with me to go with I forget her name, to the prom.
Oh, Horenstein.
What was her name?
Slutty Horenstein.
No, I think it's because Kathy wasn't slutty enough.
Yeah, but, I already said that he broke up with me because I wouldn't have sex with him.
Well, let me ask you, so this guy Mike, were you familiar with this guy Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, if you just heard that music, he was in love with her, correct?
Really? Wait, I did not know this.
Your best friend knew he was in love with you.
Because you're oblivious. What are you talking about? What guy wants to be really great friends with some girl in high school and, like, make her a whole mixtape of, like, Lilith Fair music, pouring his emotions out? Come on.
The time and the effort that went into it says, I love you, Kathy.
Elisa, when the Kathy Romano biography comes down, you and I will sit down and write that, okay?
Oh, I have the dirt for you when we write this. You have her squeaky clean image is going right out the window.
Well, we already know that she got her nipple pierced, so, the wall is coming down.
Well, what's the meme I sent to her a couple of weeks ago that said, we'll always be best friends because you know too much.
Wait, so what was going on in the basement?
Yeah.
It wasn't the basement. It was the bottom of Elise's bed. There was like a...
They called that the basement.
A bunch of people in there. I think you... And by the way, you were in the closet with someone.
You
were
performing for everybody in the room?
I mean, listen, I had a Zima party. What do you want?
A Zima party.
Zima.
It was 100% a Zima party.
Is that the first time a guy ran his fingers through your butt fuzz?
Peach fuzz.
He was braiding it.
Okay. Well, we know it's gone now, by the way, for the record. It's just completely perfect now, right?
Well,
yes,
correct. Hair free. Thank you.
Well, listen, we got to wrap it up, Elisa, but thank you for a peek into the real world of Catherine.
Yes, whatever you need more, I'm here for.
Oh, all right. We will. Yes. We will. Thank you.
But,
all right.
By the way, Elisa was the quote, and her and I have been best friends for years, but she was a little bit of like the bad girl. Mm-hmm. So she loves when like things are not so squeaky clean for other people. She loves to throw me under the bus for on any occasion.
We would not have any of this, Preston, were it not for the inventor of the cassette.
That's true. Yeah. That is absolutely true. Wow. Okay. Well, anyhow.
That was fun.
Yes, it was Lou Ottens. I actually want to do more of this.
Yeah.
But we only scratched the surface on this, too.
Yeah, hours of stuff.
I want to go through some more of this. Let's take a break. Come back in a second, though. We have bizarre file stories that we need to get to. Stay with us because we're not going to be gone long.
If your Christmas tree was lacking in MMR gear from your loved ones, not to worry. Head over to the Rock Shop at WMMR.com and pick out something that rocks for yourself. There's t-shirts, hats, mugs, and a whole lot more. So peruse and purchase now, because you can't really have a great new year without some new kick-ass MMR gear. Get yours now at WMMR.com.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A woman is kind of a follow-up. So,
right.
A woman who says that she spent 3 weeks in a sewer cyst in Delray Beach.
I remember this story.
Well, she disappeared in Texas.
Oh. Again?
Police posted on their Facebook page that they are looking for 43-year-old Lindsay Kennedy. Back in March, Kennedy told Delray Beach police that she went for a swim in a canal near her boyfriend's house, became curious, and then wandered through the tunnels before getting lost.
I think I'll check out the sewers.
Her family said that a little over a week after Kennedy checked into rehab facility in Texas, a 43-year-old wandered off and was reported missing by local police. Brady Morgan, Kennedy's best friend, said police spotted Kennedy near a creek. When authorities approached her, she slipped into a nearby storm drain.
Oh.
What is she, Swamp Thing?
Yeah, but thanks to a tracking app on Kennedy's cell phone, the family was able to ping her last location before entering the underground system where they began their search. Family and friends located nearby manholes and the storm drain, dropping bags of food and Gatorade in.
This is insane.
I know. On Saturday night, Kennedy's mother, Jane, said that her daughter climbed out of a 6-foot drain pipe and was transported to a nearby hospital under a psychiatric hold. According to family, Kennedy suffers from psychosis and PTSD after years of an abusive relationship.
It sounds like something's going on.
They hope to take her back home to recover near her family and friends. How crazy is that? She defaults to going into the sewer system.
This reminds me of that show Beauty and the Beast. Wow. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. This took place in Georgia, Fitzgerald, Georgia. And the 62-foot-tall topiary chicken is taking form.
Really?
But not flight, as it begins to look more like a bird and less like a chicken coop. Fitzgerald Mayor Jim Puckett said the wings will be added next. He said construction did slow down over the last year because of the pandemic.
People of Georgia, it's an honor to be here at the creation of this topiary chicken.
The Tennessee-based artist Topiary Joe.
Topiary Joe is an artist the likes of Da Vinci.
Was recovering from surgery. Puckett said they're still working on a timeline for completion. He said this is not a model kit that you just snap together. No one's ever built a 62-foot steel chicken before. So, Topiary Joe...
That's not exactly true.
No?
I built one myself. It's going to be, instead of a tour bus for KISS, we're going to use it across the country.
He said, Topiary Joe, having to come here, puts things together, measure everything, go back to his shop in Tennessee, and start then. And so it's going to be a work in progress. But I'm going to tell you, this is going to be fantastic when it's finished, said Puckett.
I'm going to tell you that.
Puckett said people continue.
I was made for building chickens, baby.
Puckett said people continue to have a lot of interest in the big chicken.
Of course, who doesn't?
Even newlyweds wanting to stay a night inside the soon-to-be plant-layered bird.
Oh, so there will be an ability to access the inside of the chicken.
I guess so. So, yes, this
yes,
is...
Yes, just crawl up through its ass.
If you're interested, you can go to Fitzgerald, Georgia, for the 62-foot-tall topiary chicken.
So it'll be like their version of the Margate elephant.
Yeah, it's like Lucy. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. All right, how messed up is this, man? A retired FBI agent stole $800,000 from a woman by convincing her she was on secret probation and needed to comply or risk losing her children as part of a years-long scheme.
Just secret probation or double secret probation?
It might have been double secret probation.
0.0.
In November 2015, the month after he retired from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, William Roy Stone Jr. convinced a woman that she was on secret probation under orders from a fictitious Judge Anderson for drug crimes. Prosecutors did not identify the victim in the case, but said that she was a woman from a small Texas city of Granbury. Stone told the woman that the fake judge had appointed him as her mentor to supervise her. He allegedly told his victim she had to disclose to him all of her activities and assets and said that she was required to pay him several travel costs and other fees he incurred while supervising her. He also told her that she was not allowed to tell anyone about her secret probation or she risked time in prison and losing custody of her children. As part of the scheme, prosecutors alleged Stone lied and told the woman that he could monitor her cell phone records and that he had discussed her case with a psychiatrist. He also staged fake three-way phone calls between himself, his victim, and the fake judge. Stone told his victim that he would seek to end her probation if she accepted his proposal to marry her.
Wow, so this is his method of wooing her.
He's crazy. Stone was charged with 7 counts of wire fraud, a count of fraud conspiracy, false impersonation of a federal officer. The charges go on and on.
But he did it for love.
Stone allegedly used the money to purchase cars, including a Mercedes-Benz, a new home.
Take a drive and go see that chicken.
Stone had pleaded not guilty. He faces up to 178 years in prison.
Oh, my God.
Good lawyer can get that down.
Yeah. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. Let's end with, oh, man. Okay, these are all messed up stories. Now, you know me. I don't like to end on messed up stories. Okay, here's a follow-up
story. What's the least messed up?
It's messed up, but it's a follow-up story. Right. And anyway. A former Southwest Airlines pilot pleaded guilty on Friday to federal charges of committing a lewd, indecent, or obscene act mid-flight while he was the pilot in command. After the August 10th, 2020 flight from Philadelphia to Orlando reached cruising altitude.
Yeah, you're going to be my regular Saturday night thing.
Michael Hack, 60 years old, of Longwood, Florida, admitted to removing his clothes in the cockpit of the plane, exposing himself to the female first officer.
No, that's the appropriate place for it.
He then proceeded to view pornographic material in the cockpit on a laptop. As the plane continued its flight, Hawk further engaged in inappropriate conduct in the cockpit as first officer continued to perform her duties as an assisted air crew member, according to federal prosecutors. By the way, how do you even begin to take your clothes off in that tiny little room at the front of the plane?
I don't know. It's impossible. It seemed that way. Unless the guy's small.
He was sentenced to 1 year probation in order to pay a $5,000 fine.
I'm currently getting naked in the cockpit and watching pornography. Hope you're enjoying your flight.
A Southwest spokesperson said that Hawk had left the airline before the company was made aware of the incident. So he has been charged with committing the lewd act.
I don't think that's a good... He should stay out of the air.
Probably a good idea. And that is what I have in the bizarre file. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's artist is John Fay. I'll just orbit, keep on spinning till I'm dead, singing whoa. John Fay, your Local Shots artist of the month. Check him out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
Steve sent me over this article from BuzzFeed. A remedy, a home remedy to get rid of hickeys.
Did you guys see this?
No. No.
Number one, who's still giving hickeys?
Hickeys.
I thought that was a thing of the past.
Oral became an option.
Well, oral's always been an option, but but I mean, I always thought of hickeys as really old school, like even pre my youth old school, but I guess maybe it still happens, and we'll explain the technique here in a moment.
Well, I mean, maybe this
just
can
maybe.
Be just maybe this could be used for what is it, cupping, Kathy? That you you have all those, you have this hickeys all over your body, Kathy, and that is what those are.
Yeah, essentially, but they're not as embarrassing as
a mouth hickey.
Well, you can tell somebody has gone to a professional and had that done for a reason.
Not like someone was sucking her back.
Yeah.
But that does, so on the side thing, and we're going to get to the main point here.
Yeah.
So apparently hickeys are a thing. Yes. They used to be a big thing years ago. I remember when I was junior high and elementary school.
Like, it
was
almost like a big thing. You mean like purposely given?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ours were like, I think maybe I was in the era of like, oh, it was a mistake, but it happened.
No.
And I'm
like pregnancy.
I mean, I guess. Could be seen that way. But I'm also wondering what this remedy is, because we also had remedies.
Well, so the whole hickey thing, as I recall it, was almost like we're in a relationship. It was just a badge. We're messing around. We're teenagers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or like even like an ownership tag.
There was a percentage of that in there. There absolutely was.
So apparently this particular remedy involves a whisk that you would use to, you know, whip eggs or whatever you're making, some kind of batter.
So this is similar to like, ours was you put ice on it and you brush it out with a comb.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So maybe similar to that. So this whisk, what you do is you take the top part of it and you hold it against the hickey and then you twist it. Okay.
No, really?
Yeah. For about 3 or 4 minutes.
And according to a couple of medical experts, yeah, it works. The videos that they've shown of people doing it show before and after. And all it's doing is breaking up that blood, because it essentially a hickey is like a mild contusion, right? It's like a bruise.
Yeah, that's basically it.
See, the ice situation didn't work. That's what we were told.
But the comb might. So it kind of breaks up that blood. It doesn't make it disappear, but it spreads it out.
Well, do we want to try it? I have hickeys all over my shoulder.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Can we do that? Because
I would imagine
we need to get a whisk.
We need a whisk. That's the thing we need.
Or take off your top.
First of all,
if you could just listen, we work together for Christ's sake.
I mean, how long have we known each other?
Jesus Christ, we can't see a topless.
I mean, we could do it, but we don't have a whisk. So,
they're going to be there tomorrow. So, if you want, I'll bring a whisk in.
My wife has been doing the cupping and loves it, and also the cucking, which is great.
Right.
I just sit there and watch her make love to other people. They have the severity of the cupping hickeys, I guess, has diminished over time. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I have one that's like super dark, and I don't know what the reason is for it. The others are, you know, they're a little red, but the one got like purple.
I also don't know how well this works if it's been a while.
Okay.
You know, it may, these may be for shortly after. I don't know.
Wait a second. If you were to take something of a similar design, like a plastic comb and turn it, it'd be the same thing, would it not?
I would think so, but it's got to be.
Do you want to try it?
What do we have, though?
I have an X-Acto knife.
Yeah. No, you're try not that cutting out the bruise on my shoulder.
You have a spork?
I have a titanium spork.
That's pointy.
Anything come to mind, guys? Marissa's
going like this. I don't know what
she's
that
got
means.
A bandsaw.
Hang on a second. What's up, Marissa?
Don't you guys have that back scratcher?
Yes. Marissa.
Where is it?
Right here.
What?
It's got Kathy's face on it. This the back.
Oh, yeah.
The little tines on it.
I can scratch me.
That could work.
All right.
I'm doing my neck right now. So.
Do you want to?
Yeah, come over here, Kathy. Come here.
Oh.
Come here, baby.
Ew.
Come here.
Come here, baby.
I didn't even realize I said that.
did you hear the nanosecond to ew?
Ew. I know. Ew.
Okay, I can't remember where they are, so you're going to have to like.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to lower my.
It's kind of faded.
Mm. It's just below the bra strap, Preston.
Kath, how long ago did you get them?
There's one there, too. I think this is already faded.
Yeah, it's very... Actually, Kathy, it's very faded. Can you have someone... Nick, would you suck on Kathy's back?
Yeah, Kathy, come here. Take your top off.
Do you
want
to give me a...
This isn't going to work.
Back when you have fresh ones.
Yeah, Nick, give Kathy a hickey, could you?
Let me suck on your back for a little while.
Yeah.
And then we'll try
Jesus
that.
Christ, we work together.
Come on. We're friends.
I didn't say no.
Oh, okay.
I think I went, was it last Thursday? Yeah, I went on Thursday.
Yeah, they have faded, consider. You showed them to me.
I'll go,
yeah.
I go next week, next Thursday. So okay. when I have fresh cupping hickeys,
quick
I'll let
question.
You know.
Steve, somebody's texting in and asking, "Don't you have a? Doesn't Steve have a tactical whisk nearby?"
I do. I do it all. I make so I can make military grade eggs.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. What were you going to say?
No. No. The cupping thing. Do you feel it's? Because my wife says she gets results from it.
So this is the second time that I had it done. And, I mean, yeah, I liked it. And hopefully, like, long-term it
athletes
helps.
Are doing it all the time.
That's Rochelle likes them. No, she likes that. It targets specific areas, muscle
yeah,
groups.
So, like,
do you do the cucking as well? Because I find that very relaxing.
She does. She watches me.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Other women.
I got to look into that.
And guys.
I'm doing the other way.
I don't like saying it. They're like, oh, I had cupping done. Because I feel like there's something dirty in there that you guys
it
are
does,
with.
Yeah.
Yep. Probably.
But I'll have the massage in addition. Like, so she'll massage that that shoulder, those muscles, and then she'll put the cups on while she massages the other side. Like, as like an additional. See what I mean? I can't even tell.
It feels so good. Why don't you cup it?
Yeah,
cup it good.
I haven't. I've had the cupping done on my back as well, and I haven't really noticed any gigantic improvement from that, but some people love it.
Yeah.
I almost bought one of those. It looks like an industrial-sized dildo or vibrator.
How did that feel?
I didn't buy it because when you... You know what I'm talking
about? It's like a hammer.
It's a jackhammer. Yep. Like,
those
cool.
things are awesome.
Okay.
Yes.
We have one. They're great.
You bought a nice one that was probably like, you know...
Yeah.
$500.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
This was at TJ Maxx, and it was $30. I was like, you get what you pay for, right?
Well, I mean, if you want to... It's going to fall apart.
This one is... It is... I mean, it's super... Yeah.
I like the that little pillow I told you guys about. I like that better than these jackhammer things. I've used both of them. And,
what's the little pillow? I'm sorry.
Hold on. I'll
grind on it. You put it between your legs and you grind.
No, it's like.
You think about boys. Then you run your fingers around the edges of your cups.
Wow.
Does Sibian make like, that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just like a little, like almost like those old massage chairs, but it's just taking, it's like a smaller pillow, so it's not this big, huge thing in your house.
It looks like that's four vibrators on top of a saddle, Preston.
Yeah, it's got moving knobs that are inside of it, and they kind of knead you, right?
Yeah, yep. But
I need you too.
But you're using your own body weight, so you know what I'm saying? If you wanted a little more pressure.
Because you're laying on it, directly on it. That's actually.
There's a pillow, but then there's also one, there's like a neck collar that goes around your neck that'll get like the top of your shoulders and your neck.
I bought Rochelle a...
Purchase a dog collar, please.
It's like a seat that you can set on your couch, and it's the back end seat, and she loves that thing. I bought it as like a throwaway birthday gift. Like, okay, this is at least I tried, you know, to get something. She'd be like, she loves it. I was quite surprised.
I'll tell you the best one, honestly.
I'm not good at getting gifts.
No. I just... Kathy kept saying pillows, and I thought of this clip.
Your knockers. Not your knockers, your breasts. Your breasts are like melons.
But then he says pillows. Yeah, he says, I want to fluff your pillows.
The massage chair that I have, Kathy, to your point, actually leans you all the way on your back. So you're completely in that, you know, reclined position. So all of the your weight is on all the rollers.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. And I had one of those things that you got, Rochelle, Preston, and it is like... It's just a little bit bigger, so I tried this because this is smaller.
Yeah, can
fit in a little basket.
It looks similar, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, cool. All right. Anyway, well, listen, when you come back with some fresh hickeys.
I will. Next
we'll try that
next
out.
Friday.
I mean, yeah. I want to try it because it apparently does. I actually could have used this years ago because I occasionally had a few telltale hickeys.
Never did.
Well, listen, but since we're talking about intimacy with your significant other, I saw this article. And I wanted to discuss this a little bit. This was, once again, on TikTok. Here we go. A woman asked last month on TikTok, how long is sex supposed to last after getting into a debate with a group of younger women? And she was, apparently, it took on like, you know, it went viral and there's millions of views on it. And she said, I was talking to these young girls here and they were like, if he ain't going for an hour...
Oh, God.
And then she wrote, an hour? Who is having sex for that long?
Oh, God.
Just for an hour? And she says, straight, you know, intercourse? She said, no, ma'am. 15, 20 minutes tops. After that, get the F off of me, sir. And a cursory scroll through the tens of thousands of comments that the video amassed suggested that most women agree. To give an example, here's a couple of comments. One said, after 15 minutes, I'm making grocery lists.
I mean, when you were young, well, listen, Preston, years ago, in the height of dating, or even, you know, at the beginning of any relationship, you're trying to put on a show.
Yeah.
And after a while, you're like, come on!
I know.
And you know, what happens is we're set with these unrealistic expectations due to, I'll say it, pornography.
Exactly.
Yeah, honestly, no, after a while, it's just, you're looking at a heart attack.
Yes. Many of the commenters also posted a, here's another one that said, an hour, I'm 42. It would take me 2 weeks to recover from that mess. Then she writes, 15 minutes, foreplay included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm good for that.
8 minutes talking about it.
Right. Right.
And then, of course, the perfunctory 3 minutes crying over it.
Many of the commenters also posted a link between duration and sexual performances. One woman put it, if it takes an hour for either of you to get what you came to get, there's a problem there. Yeah. In 1948, by the way, sex researcher Alfred Kinsey infamously concluded 3/4 of men finish after 2 minutes. But a 2008 paper published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine insisted the average sexual encounter lasts between 3 and 7 minutes.
That's a good amount of time, 3 to 7.
3 to 7 minutes is, it says, the average sexual encounter is about that.
I think that's about the deal.
I mean,
I think after a while, you're right. Your mind starts, hungry. You know, it's too much. And then you have these unreal expectations of these all-nighters and these things that you get sore, you pull muscles, you need to cup afterwards because you're injured.
And let's not just get distracted from the task at hand. You're trying to make a baby, okay?
It's always about making a baby.
You're trying to make a baby.
If you're not, then you're sinning.
Yes.
Hate to tell you.
Casey's mom is listening. So let me ask you a question. When you were young and virile and were going for show.
Yeah.
Okay. On these occasions.
And you're making videos and stuff.
Yeah, you're making videos.
And Regis is videotaping.
What would you...
All right, this is great. Thanks for the invitation. I don't even know you and I got the call. It was such a surprise.
The old adage of thinking about baseball.
Sure.
To distract yourself.
Math problems. No.
Math problems?
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Japanese Shogun films.
No. Well, not for me.
That would work.
Long division.
It's a personal thing. That's what I use. Okay, I think Chuck taught me this, or somebody did. When you're pee shy, think about extremely complex math problems.
Really,
and you will be able to pee. But honestly, it works for me.
The baseball adage. I'd think too much about baseball. I'd be like,
you'd be legitimately interested.
Like, yeah. What did he
at that Nick McElwain?
He had him 0-2.
Right? You know?
What's it going to be, boy?
The guy's pitching a one hitter into the eighth, and they bring in the closer?
He's going for second.
Let me see, Barney. Baby, let me see, Barney.
But, the long division actually provided a distraction.
Do you remember? So, I times with my wife, you know, when we were dating, where you're just literally... You know, you're sweating and it's like going on and on. And it was wonderful. But I'm like, is this good? Am I doing okay?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And that's where actually a panel of judges in the room would really help.
Right.
Yeah.
I had heard one person recommend, and it was on a porn documentary that was done. And somebody had said, think about your grandmother. Mm.
But what if you banged your grandmother?
That could go bad. I know, right?
God, then she's so wonderful.
It might actually go very quickly.
She's so open, yet she's body's completely tight.
By the way, so...
And she makes snickerdoodles.
Another study had found that there were wild variations ranging from just 33 seconds to almost an hour about the average time. Which, by the way, so ladies, I wouldn't mind hearing from you.
Please.
For our men listening... What is a good amount of time? What is too much? What is too little? 215-263-WMMR.
You know, I pressed
it. I'd like to know, because the myth is, for us, is that you would like to go...
All night long.
All night long.
All night long.
Hours.
Devastated.
And we want to do what we can.
Do you ever see the movie Life Force, when the thing, alien, would literally suck the person into a wizened old lump of flesh?
Yes.
Like, that's...
That's what you want. Ladies, you can save men a number of early age heart attacks if you just give proper parameters. Because that's why you have, Preston, do you know, like, in ED drugs and Viagra and all that stuff, do you know the major consumers of that stuff? A tremendous amount of them are young men, young guys
trying to live up to
yeah. that, you know.
So let me ask you,
they're trying to Peter North it.
Ladies, to tread lightly on this with the verbiage here.
Yeah.
On a personal level,
All right.
There was a great quote, and I don't want to know what movie it was from. It was Alec Baldwin, and he said, sex is like Outside a Chinese Providence. Meal. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not over till you both had your cookie.
Cookies, right.
And yeah. So I would always try to make sure that she got her cookie
first.
Before
yes.
we even began the main, before we dove into the low main.
Just
whatever.
In case you fall asleep on top of her.
Maybe. Yeah. So is that, for women, is that good enough?
Wait, is what good enough?
Get your cookie first.
During foreplay.
Yeah.
That you get to ecstasy before we go for the full compliment.
Before
I'm trying to dance
around. Oh,
before
really?
We actually have yeah. sex.
Before yes. he shoots.
Before he procreates.
Yeah. Before he makes his baby.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean.
In other words,
before? Why before? Why wouldn't they want to take part?
Well, No.
I know what you're saying.
I would make sure that you achieve before we even get started.
No, I would not be into that.
Wow.
Really?
No.
Okay. You only... Okay, never mind.
It has to be simultaneous?
Oh, no. It doesn't have to be at the exact same time, but...
What if you have, like, a Swiss watch?
Before the actual, like, act? No, because then I'm bored. Then I want to go.
I got you.
Okay, so...
Are you almost done? This is over.
You mean you're not up for more than one?
I think I figured out how he screwed up that French toast.
Marissa looks confused.
But then what happens when he makes the baby and you haven't gotten there yet?
No, then that is no fun. Then I'm moving on to somebody else.
Oh, my God.
Tag team.
So, Preston, I think I'm in line with you. I'm in line with you, and I think we'd be great lovers. I think so.
Take care of her first.
Take care.
That's always been my
mission. Just because I think that's part of the deal.
Yes, no, that is absolutely the deal. But you're saying prior to even the actual act, no. At least not for me.
You're talking about the main act for always leads the. In other words, you never have apps before your main course?
Yeah, of course.
Or do you have your salad after you eat the steak?
Wait, you lost me.
I mean,
when do you toss the salad?
When do you toss his salad?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. No, thank you.
Here's texts are coming in. Love having the cookie first. This is, then it's quick, warm, bam, and we are going about our day.
I like that thinking.
Woman here, I like to go for hours, but I mean multiple rounds throughout the night, not hours straight.
Oh my God, geez. No, thank you.
What?
Nope.
Girl here says, cookies first in 3 to 7 minutes sounds good to me. There you go.
That's it.
I like
thank
her.
You.
If you have kids, ain't nobody got time for an hour of that.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's see. All right, let's go to some calls here. And please, with your language,
yes,
we have to dance around this a tiny bit. All right, let me go to...
Just reference Chinese food.
Let me go to Emily. Hi, Emily. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Emily?
Nothing too much.
All right, so what's the perfect amount of time for you? Foreplay included?
Yeah.
I still say 20 minutes.
Yeah, tops. 20 minutes. Okay, I like that. Right. I like you. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
What are you doing later?
Yeah.
Because, listen, you'll still have 10 minutes left in a half-hour show.
And do you like to get your cookie? Do you like to get one cookie before the meal?
I can take one cookie.
Yeah. Okay. See, that to me, I think...
Thanks, Emily.
I also equate that with just the generosity. Like, I want you to have your pleasure. It's not always about me.
Well, listen...
Let you have it.
Because this...
I don't have to work as hard.
This is my mindset. It's like... I'm not sure how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I know how it's
going to
end.
I just don't know when it's going to end. So why don't we do this first and make sure you're happy?
That's when you're above the neck game gets really good when you're not sure how your below the belt game is going
to
go.
It's funny because we know that we, as men, always have finish lines, right? And we're going to cross that finish line. We have no idea where the finish line for the woman is. Like, it's constantly moving. Sometimes that finish line...
Usually with your best friend.
Well, usually. But sometimes the finish line's right in front of you. Sometimes it's like a mile and a half away. Yeah. And so you have to pace yourself, you know, differently... Different times.
That's why electrolytes are so important.
Yeah.
You're right.
Gatorade. Absolutely.
Yep.
You gotta.
What's the Pedialyte for?
I don't want to cramp up. Can't cramp up.
Oh, man, the cramp.
Coach.
That ends the whole night.
Rock, yeah. You're thrusting too hard, Rock.
Oh, the leg cramp.
You're going to peek.
I can't feel it. I can't feel my testicles. Okay. Mickey cut my ball.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Cut me, Mick.
Cut me, Mick.
Let me go to Kim. Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Hi. How are you? Oh, my gosh. I'm excited. I never get through to you guys. Oh.
Welcome to the discussion, Kim. Okay, so what do you think?
So you guys probably aren't going to like this, but so I'm 40, and the guy I'm with is 40, and our average time is probably about an hour.
I mean, God bless, you know, but do you ever chafe?
No, actually.
Okay, so are you talking 40 minutes of leading up to conversation, foreplay, the actual act, and maybe a repeat? Or what? Lay out the menu items in a non-graphic way.
It's usually kind of a combination of everything.
Okay.
The whole hour, you know, maybe half and half.
Hey, now, are you streaming this live as you're doing it?
Yeah, right. Wait, Kim, how long have you guys been together?
Not that long.
Okay, so this still includes taking your clothes off one piece at a time and things like that, I would imagine.
Oh, well, no, that usually happens pretty quick.
Okay, all right, because with the wife and I, it's like, you ready? Ready? Okay, clothes off, go.
That's why laundry became, like, laundry meant nothing at a certain point. It's like, no, let's get naked quickly.
Do you have kids?
No kids.
Okay.
Yeah, big time difference.
Yep.
Good for you, man.
So 40 minutes with everything included. How about the cookie thing? You like your cookie before the meal? And then one during?
I mean, yeah. Who doesn't?
Okay.
Okay.
Kathy doesn't.
Do you ever microwave your cookies?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Because I do, because the Toll House really...
I like that.
...brings you right back to life.
Let me go to Katie. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Katie?
Listener, first time caller.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Love that.
All right. So, what's your take on all this? How long should the session last?
So, me being a difficult woman, I take a little bit longer.
Okay.
But I still say like 15, 20 minutes tops. Like, and that's like,
Steve likes
including,
that.
The, that's including like the cookie and everything. Like, I'll give you like 10 minutes on that, and then like let me get on top and do my business and be done.
See, that I understand that.
What are you doing later, Katie?
Yeah, she likes to take charge.
In fact, as a guy with rigor mortis would serve your. At a certain point,
remember that scene when in Bernie?
Yes.
In what?
Bernie.
Weekend of Bernie.
Weekend of Bernie.
Bernie.
Well, you remember in The World According to Garp, Garp is born because his mother...
Yeah, the guy was in a coma. But he was excited the whole time. Oh, yeah. She just jumped on top
of him. That happens in Clerks, too.
Did it?
Yeah, she goes back into the bathroom and thinks she's banging Dante.
That's right. Okay, let me go. I'm just going down the line here.
In Bolt as
I'm
well.
I'm going to Monique with the animated movie. Hi, Monique, you're on the air.
Hi. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Monique?
It's so funny that you guys are talking about this today because me and my fiance were literally having this conversation last night.
And what did you guys learn?
Well, because he was going way too long and I was like, over it. And I was like, you know, let's go. I prefer to be shorter. I cannot take, you know, 45 minutes, even half hour, I think is a little too long.
Monique, thank you for the honesty, because I think at a certain point, I think, and you can see, I bet you your fiance, and congratulations, by the way, is just trying to do what he thinks
is the deal. And I think a lot of guys go, I guess I have to do, you know, when you hear things like years ago when Sting said he was doing tantric sex sessions for 6 hours, it's like, oh man, but what you're here to say, as long as, you know, you do it, you're committed, you show love, 10 minutes is enough.
Yeah, as long as we both get our pleasure, then we can just get on with it.
Monique, that is the best phrase in sex. Get on with it.
Monique, how did he respond to that from you last night?
He wanted me to just, like, be on board with him. And let's get a little, I guess, more specific. He did me first, and then I was, you know, going along with him.
Okay, so I understand. So you're saying...
We're on the same board, same boat, her and I.
Okay, well, then you're right on my board. Yeah, then I think that's fine. So he wanted to... That makes sense, Monique.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, but it doesn't always have to end with simultaneous stuff as fireworks go off outside the balcony.
Right.
You know.
And also, forget about it if the guy is drinking. Just forget about it. Because
I will not sleep with a man who's been drinking.
I don't want to take advantage of him like that.
We call that guy Randy. Oh, Randy's back again.
Oh, really? Oh, is that your guy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my buddy and then his wife is like, oh, no, not you again. Randy's here.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Monique. I appreciate it. I want to go to some other callers. I'm going to go to, all right, Stephanie's got something to say. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, how you doing? Me love you long time.
Oh, all right. How long?
All night long, you know.
You make them extra sloppy for them?
Multiple times.
Yes! I made them extra
sloppy. You got to keep them lubricated, man. Naturally, okay. You know. I mean, you got to have somebody who can hang. I'd rather have great sex every once in a while than mediocre sex. It's like going through a drive-thru or going out to dinner.
Mediocre. Love it.
All right. So how long a session can you be up for, Stephanie, when you go for a great session?
It doesn't need to be refreshing. It's just got you change it around. It up.
Okay.
Flip it. I'm telling you.
Flip it?
It's like you're making
smack it, flip it.
Yeah, yeah.
Down.
Oh, no. Yeah. Spread the cheeks. Smack it around.
Stephanie, do you have a bag it up, flip it, rub it down?
Oh! Do you have a man in your life, Stephanie?
No, I'm not. Just one in particular.
Okay. I like Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie.
Wow.
That laugh is genius.
You're awesome, Stephanie.
You know it. I really am. They call me crazy bitch. You know?
Why?
Because she killed a man.
Yeah. To Hollywood a lot.
All right.
Hey, Stephanie, where are you from, by the way?
Norwood. Now everyone
knows. Yeah!
All right, we're going to play some part.
Well, there's a guy on the phone for you, Stephanie.
What's that?
Take a message.
Here he is. He wants to talk to you.
I see if I can text him in, you know?
Oh, my God. All right, Stephanie. By the way, when's the last time you slept with somebody?
Probably too long ago, because I'll probably kill the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick wants to know.
No, not probably.
No. Yeah. Katie, I'm in. Monique, sure. Stephanie, huh?
All right, Stephanie, thank you.
I probably killed him because I shot him.
I'm on top of it when I dream. Oh, my God. Wow.
We got to have another mixer and invite Stephanie.
We are overdue. Yeah. I think people are pent up. Absolutely. Let me go to Barbara next. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, Barbara, just talking about how long and cookies and all that stuff. What's your take on all this?
Well, I like to have two or three cookies before the main meal and then another one during my meal.
Ah,
wow. So let me ask you, can cookies sometimes be enough without the main meal?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, right. I tend to agree with that.
The main meal is just an encore.
It's like having breakfast for dinner, right?
Exactly.
See, no. I think that's the difference. I think that's what Preston's talking about.
You can have cookies. Cookies without the main course can be just fine, yeah. Right?
What I'm saying is what I think the difference is having more than
multiple
one.
Cookies.
Yeah. I mean, that's the hopefully the goal. That's why the first one is an insurance policy,
right?
You make sure you get that done.
Oh, this isn't about good sex that makes me have to crap.
That's Stephanie is a younger age. That's Stephanie 50 years ago.
You really jarred something loose there, Tiger.
All right. Well,
I knock you.
Anyhow, there were. I didn't even get to the meat of this particular.
It's all right,
we got to the meat. We had Stephanie
article, but hang on. No, there was something that it mentioned exactly what Steve was saying earlier. The research it says there may be some unnecessary expectations from guys because of
adult films,
pornography.
Yeah,
research suggests that at least a quarter of young men aged 18 to 24 rely on porn as a form of sex education.
Yeah,
and given its emphasis on enduring and marathon sex sessions, it's plausible that a man might feel that he's come up short if he hasn't passed the 10-minute mark. So that's kind of getting the idea.
Owing to what we learned from the Queen's Gambit, do you think there should be one of those move clocks?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Right.
Your turn. Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, thank you for your input. We do appreciate it. What does it say now?
Well, I just said it was, if we were going to continue the conversation, it's an important point for some women. They don't get their cookies during the main meal. They have to have side meals and side dishes and
physiologically,
whatever.
Yeah. Some people can't obtain their cookie
right
through certain means,
yeah,
and
right.
they have to try different ways.
They like their pre-zert.
Yeah. That's right.
And Marissa brought in a little song here for us, by the way, so just to go along with it.
C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Oh, cookie starts with C.
And there you go.
Something else starts with C.
Yes, it does. We're going to take a break. Two things, actually. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back in a moment, and we will get to the bizarre file, so make sure that you stay put.
To a close, 93.3 WMMR looks back at everything that rocked 2021 with our top 25 songs of the year countdown. Because we can't end a year without playing back the best of the new rock arrivals in a countdown. It's against the rules. Hear it New Year's Eve starting at 7 p.m. Catch it again New Year's Day starting at 3 p.m. on 93.3 WMMR.
So, we had the start of a pretty contentious conversation earlier this morning.
Spirit, if you will.
Spirited, thank you. Better word.
Bloody.
Nick started it.
He did.
Nick started
he,
it.
He, yeah. he contested something that I said. It was unnecessary.
Wait a minute. Did you say something first? What did you say?
Casey said something first.
Well, and I don't remember exactly how or why I said it, but I said, you know, if you put a cheesesteak on a piece of white bread, it's still a cheesesteak. I don't remember why I said that.
But why don't you pose your what you said that set this spiraling? Well,
that caught me off guard because Preston was about to go on to something else, and I didn't want to disrupt that conversation, but I did anyway because it threw me. And I said,
it's something so ridiculous, you can't not comment on it.
You're not helping. I contend that Casey is wrong. That putting a cheesesteak, the cheesesteak ingredients of sliced beef and or turkey, if that's your jam, or chicken. Probably onions, grilled and onions and cheese on two slices of white bread has then bastardized what a cheesesteak actually is. I think that you can get away with the Kaiser roll like they do with donkeys. But Steve, in the joke that you just made, you said you're going to take the steak of ingredients, the cheese, and a roll,
yes,
and throw them through the fire. Because the way that your brain works is that the roll is a part of the cheesesteak. And I think once you've changed what those ingredients, basic ingredients are, you no longer have a cheesesteak.
I think cheesesteak
ingredients, but not a traditional cheesesteak.
I think if we're talking about the quintessential, how we perceive, how we reflexively consider the cheesesteak, we are dealing with the roll. However, I would say, were you to put the cheesesteak fixins, the actual contents of the cheesesteak, I think the bread is very important. I don't think it decides whether completely or not it is a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
I can side with Casey in that you could still have a cheesesteak if you did put it on regular white bread.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna put in my two cents because I haven't done that yet.
No, and you are a bit of a chef.
Well, no, I mean I like to cook. So
you're the chefiest of us all.
Thank you. That's the way to put it. I think that if you put the cheesesteak ingredients, the beef and onions and cheese, onto anything that is deemed a roll, it is therefore a cheesesteak. But if it's not, then I don't see it as a cheesesteak.
All right, let me ask you something.
So sandwich bread, and I'll tell you why, because rolls' consistency are different. The outside of a roll, the entire outside of it, is mainly crust.
You're right.
But sandwich bread is basically the interior of a roll.
All right, a hot dog placed in a piece of white bread,
still
folded over with mustard on it. Hot dog or not?
It's a BS hot dog, but yeah, it's a hot dog. Yeah, I mean, you can eat a hot dog without any bread, and it's still a hot dog,
right,
as far as I'm concerned.
So what because really essentially makes the cheesesteak? So,
well, hold on. Can we go back to the hot dog?
Please.
So the hot dog, the actual meat rolled in that is a hot dog.
Correct.
Okay, so...
Thank you!
Right, but if you take the meat from a cheesesteak, you just have chopped up meat. It's not a cheesesteak.
Yes, it is.
So if you put it in...
If you put
the hot dog in a different piece of bread, there's still a hot dog in it.
If you put meat in an egg roll,
yes, it's not a cheesesteak. If you put the cheesesteak ingredients in an egg roll...
May I jump in here? They call them cheesesteak egg roll.
If you put cheesesteak meat on a pizza, what's it called?
They just gave it that name so you would have, you could identify it easily.
So what,
you would know what the interior of it is.
Because by telling you it's a cheesesteak egg roll, what are they telling you?
There's cheese and steak.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cheesesteak. Listen, I'm not saying that I would never order a cheesesteak on white bread. That is just...
You're not that kind of guy.
It's an abomination, but
it's an aberration.
I am sorry. It's an aberration, abomination.
It's a culmination.
It's a constipation.
An abomination, an aberration, and a taste sensation.
It's an abomination. I would never order it. You know, it's the same thing as like putting ketchup on a hot dog. You just don't do it.
Good Lord. Let's see how many more.
But like, listen, you eat soup out of a bowl, right? You stick it in a loaf of bread in a bread bowl. It's still soup. Same thing with the cheesesteak. You take the cheesesteak. Listen, it belongs on a long roll. It really does.
Yes.
At its core. But the DNA of the cheesesteak itself is greater than anything that you put it on.
God, I love the arguments you're making. I love this.
I give that argument credibility. I think what you're dealing with. Now, mind you are going to be setting yourself up for an inferior cheesesteak if you put it in a piece of Wonder Bread. However, I think it is the cheese, the steak, and the onions, that part that comprises, that allows you to call it a cheesesteak egg roll.
Yeah.
A cheesesteak.
Yeah. I'm going to pose this question to you guys. All right. So there you are. You're cooking your steak and everything's going great. And then you realize at the last second, oh, crap, I don't have a roll. I only have white bread. So you put it on your white bread, and then you're about to take a bite out of it, and then ring, 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 somebody calls on the phone. Hey, what are you doing? You say, I'm eating a...
Sandwich.
Okay.
What kind of a sandwich?
I'm going to give
what kind of a sandwich?
With cheesesteak ingredients.
I'm going to give you something that might have a little bit of perspective, okay?
Okay.
You go to a restaurant you've never been to before.
Right. Yes.
You look at the menu. The menu says cheesesteak.
Yeah.
You order the cheesesteak.
Uh-huh.
And it comes to you on sliced sandwich bread.
Still a cheesesteak. I'm pissed off, but it's still a cheesesteak.
No, but they didn't indicate on the menu that it comes on sandwich bread. I think you've been deceived.
You have.
Just be meat on bread.
No, I think you've just been disappointed. So they're called, that's the way they prepared the cheesesteak.
Yeah.
It's not a bad way. It's a stupid way.
It's a cheesesteak.
But so here's the way we do our cheesesteak. It's an insult, and I would torch the place. I would come back after my meal, after it was closed, and I would firebomb it.
Yep.
But for me, I call it an aberration.
Yeah.
If you have is
but I wouldn't call it a cheesesteak.
An abomination. Yeah. And a taste and
the bread. The bread matters. The type of bread matters. And you would never call it a cheesesteak if you put it on a bagel. You would never call
in
it
a pita.
Yeah, a pita. Yes.
Sure you would.
No, it'd you would a, not.
It'd be a cheesesteak pita.
I'm sorry. What would it be, Preston?
What would it be called? Cheesesteak gyro or a cheesesteak this and that. It wouldn't just be the generic one word, cheesesteak.
Yes, it's become bastardized. It's a new version of a cheesesteak, but it is not you. An original
cheesesteak. It's a new version of a what?
Of what a cheesesteak could be.
Okay,
but
you're still saying
should be.
You're
should
still saying cheesesteak.
Of course still I'm saying, still... You still say pizza cheese. When you say pizza roll. It's a different freaking thing!
I'm with you on that.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal.
On a pizza, what's it called? A cheesesteak pizza. That's all I'm saying.
You're using it.
Let me ask you this.
Pizza steak.
Is it more important? I'm going to sit down and eat some bread. What am I going to put in that? Or is you're more interested in, I'm going to have a cheesesteak. What am I going to surround it with?
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
I think the cheesesteak, well, as long as you have that, you can label it a cheesesteak.
Right.
It will suck in various iterations.
Okay. Here's another thing. Like you put ham and cheese on bread, on white bread. What do you call that?
What's that now?
Well, you put ham and cheese on two pieces of white bread.
It's a ham sandwich.
It's the same ham and cheese sandwich.
Ham and cheese sandwich.
Okay. Sam Hamwich.
So you put that same ham and cheese on a long roll. What is it then called?
A hoagie.
Okay.
A hoagie.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So the roll does not make it a cheesesteak. If anything, it makes it a hoagie.
You just defined it by the bread.
Yeah, you just proved
you just defined it by the bread.
Case.
No.
Yeah, you just proved the other point.
Well, no,
the bread changed the name of the sandwich.
The bread. Well, then let's call it a hoagie, a cheesesteak hoagie, because on a hoagie roll, a long roll.
But it's not. It's just a cheesesteak. It has been vernacularly. I'm trying to think of a word. What is Donkey's version of the cheesesteak called? Because it's on a Kaiser.
It's called a cheesesteak. Yeah,
a Kaiser roll.
Right.
Which is a long roll. I told you, like I said earlier, I think it needs to be on a roll, and it's just a cheesesteak. Do we have anybody who can? I know there's loads of calls. We need an expert.
We need a professional.
Oh, man. Can we call Tony Luke?
I got his number.
Got Tony?
All right. I'm going to go to Joey. Hi, Joey. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, man. What's up, bud?
I believe the roll defines it as pizza crust defines a pizza. You can't put mozzarella and marinara on white bread and call it pizza. No. So... like you said, white bread makes it a...
Well, let me ask you this, Joey. Have you ever heard of a pizza bagel?
Yes.
So why do they call it a pizza bagel?
Just so you know what it is. You know?
But that's another compound word that's been created.
Changed.
You know?
You're not eating pizza.
Like cheesesteak egg roll. French bread pizza.
Changed.
Right.
You're not eating pizza anymore. You're eating French bread pizza.
I haven't had French bread pizza.
I love French bread pizza.
What was the company that used to make that?
I loved that.
What was it?
I don't remember.
There was Stouffer's,
man.
Put it in the toaster oven?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my. I'm going to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to shoot. Let's go to... hang on a second. Let me go to Tom. You're on the air. Good morning, Tom.
What's up, guys? This is the one time I actually agree with Casey on something.
Ah, there you go.
Right?
The bread does not define, it's called a cheesesteak. This just makes me hate Nick a little bit.
Wow.
Welcome to the club.
Well, let me ask you.
Called you Nick the Head earlier. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
Nick the Head.
Tom, can I bring...
He said it doesn't define it as a traditional cheesesteak. But, yeah, it doesn't matter what is a container is. It's a cheesesteak.
I agree.
All right. Room is divided, by the
completely
way. All right.
Divided. You're
thank
wrong.
You, Tom.
So is a French bread pizza a pizza?
Yes. No.
Well, no, what is it?
It's what you just called it.
No,
French bread
pizza.
So, but what is it?
It's pizza. Its own thing.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're bread using with pizza ingredients on it.
That's what I'm saying. You're using cheesesteak and cheesesteak, the actual hoagie sandwich, whatever in the bread you want it as two different things.
It's a pizza served differently.
Yes, correct. So, again, I'll use the menu thing. If you go to a pizza shop and you order pizza and it comes out on French bread, you're going to go, that's not pizza. That's not what I ordered.
So when you go there and you say, give me French bread, put tomato sauce and mozzarella on it.
Yeah.
And that's melted
French
cheese.
Pizza. These people are out of their minds.
It has
Steve.
To be
they're
defined as French bread pizza for you to know what it is. It's the same thing with the cheesesteak.
I have to
same
say,
with if that's you your add argument, another word to it, it's you've changed
you've
it. It's a
changed
compound
it.
Word. A cheesesteak egg roll is
I
not
see
a cheesesteak.
A narcotic addiction in your future.
Press
just because we don't agree with you?
I think you're going to be addicted to heroin. I think you're going to get depressed.
You've changed the name of what you ordered. You're not ordering a pizza at that point. You're ordering a French bread pizza. When you get a cheesesteak that comes on white bread? Give me a break, man. That's no longer a cheesesteak.
Tony Luke is on the line.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Tony Luke Jr. Tony Luke, are you there, sir?
What's up, everybody?
Yay. Happy National Cheesesteak Day, by the way, sir.
Happy National Cheesesteak Day.
Okay, so we have a bit of a controversy that has arrived. Okay, we got talking about what makes a cheesesteak a cheesesteak. Casey came up with the idea that if you took if you take the beef, the sliced beef, grilled onions and cheese, and you put it on regular white, you know, just sandwich bread, that is still a cheesesteak. Others of us in the room, Steve and Casey agree on that. Others of us in the room feel that it needs to be on some type of roll in order for it to be officially considered a cheesesteak. What say you, sir?
Even though I understand both viewpoints, for me personally, a cheesesteak is on an Italian roll with cheese, ribeye steak, and onions, if you want onions.
Right.
That, to me, is a traditional...
Of course, traditional, and we don't argue with that. But suppose you started making everything, realized at the last second that you didn't have a roll and you only had white bread. Do you still call it a cheesesteak? I mean, you can add the word sandwich to the end of it, but it's still a cheesesteak.
It would be a cheesesteak sandwich, not a cheesesteak.
Yes, and then cheesesteak is no longer the noun involved. Cheesesteak has become an adjective. Like when you say French bread pizza, the adjective to the pizza is French bread. You change the very nature of the noun and the syntax.
So what you're really eating is simply the bread. And what you're adding to it is what's the adjective defining.
I'm saying
a characteristic
of it. The sum is the parts of the whole, right? So like you're
correct. Like you would say, hey, this is a cheesesteak pizza.
Right.
I'm eating white bread. So you're saying I'm eating white bread with cheesesteak fixings on it.
That's correct. You're not eating a cheesesteak.
You're eating a cheesesteak.
You know, I say, what about these poor people that have a gluten allergy and they can't eat bread and they have to put their cheesesteak inside a lettuce leaf?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a cheesesteak.
Go ahead.
No, it's a lettuce-wrapped cheesesteak.
So, Tony.
I agree.
Tony, the argument is that what is the prime example of what would be the best way to have a cheesesteak, obviously, and you stated that. But, like, for example... Casey used the scenario, you get called. You've ran out of your rolls, your perfect, you know, roll. And you get a call and you've made a cheese steak with white bread. And someone says, what are you doing? What are you eating? What would you say?
You're eating what would be a cheesesteak on slice.
Yeah. I mean, we asked for the opinion of an expert. We got it.
Yeah, I'm an expert, too. What if you are on an Atkins diet and you are just eating the cheesesteak sans bread? What are you eating?
Please. Okay, here's a text that came in. It says here, cheesesteak is a concept. Without the roll, it's just steak, you dingleberry. And then it says you're using... concepts as identifiers. Make it easier. Why would someone say steak and cheese in a wrap? Instead, you just say cheesesteak wrap. And it doesn't make it a cheesesteak. It's a goddamn wrap is what it says here.
It's a cheesesteak wrap.
Tony, we appreciate it. Obviously, this is a spirited conversation, and we're going to discuss it further, but we needed the opinion of a bona fide expert, which you would be.
Yes, so. You brought clarity. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate you guys. Happy National Cheesesteak.
Same to you, Tony. We'll see you soon, man. All right, we have another. This is Carlos Cena, who is the owner of a Panorama restaurant in South Philly.
All right.
Okay.
It says here, this conversation is killing him.
Yes.
So I don't know which way he stands on it, but Marissa got him lined up. Carlo, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
You guys rock.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it. Okay. So you're a restaurateur. You know your way around cheesesteaks. What's your take on all this?
I have to agree with Tony Luke. You know, he's the expert. He's been doing it for a long time. But it's just the same. It's the same thing. It's like what you're getting. You have on a menu, you have to be descriptive. So if you got just pasta and marinara, you have to say the type of pasta you get. Because then if you just, I don't want spaghetti, and you give you penne, it's the same thing. It's just, you know, if I present you something that you're not expecting, like you guys said, you would send it back right away. So it is the way, the traditional way, you know.
I always joke when people from outside of the city, it's like, you know, in Philadelphia, we just call them cheesesteaks. We would call them Philly cheesesteaks. That's
right.
The same kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Or, like, you just said steak and cheese. Like, we don't call it steak and cheese. It's a cheesesteak. That's what it is. And, you know, I kind of, you know, I feel bad for Casey sometimes. I kind of want to agree with him.
Well, I do see his point. And he is completely contending, Carlo, that... And agrees, the optimum scenario is the classic cheesesteak, the way we know it. But what is driving you to eat that sandwich in whatever bread it's housed? It's the cheesesteak. That is the driver, correct?
It's the driver.
Right. So that you call it a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
And then you can do a sad face because you can say, but it's not the best bread, but
exactly.
It's a cheesesteak.
If you took a plate of spaghetti... And you put it on a long roll and put some cheese and lettuce and tomatoes and onions on it. It would be a spaghetti hoagie, right? If you put it on.
Right.
And so spaghetti is the constant there.
Right,
if you
yeah.
put it on white bread, it would be a spaghetti sandwich.
Yeah, but
so a cheesesteak sandwich is still a cheesesteak.
No, but if you went to a restaurant and just ordered spaghetti and it comes on a roll,
it's still spaghetti.
It wouldn't be what you ordered.
I did still
for
spaghetti.
God's sake.
They would say, this is the spaghetti you ordered.
Yes.
You put it on a roll. You got exactly what you wanted.
Jesus.
No, it's not the same thing as home fries and what's the other one?
And hash browns.
Hash
right.
browns.
That's
right.
The that's delineated difference.
That's different. That's
Carlo.
Different.
Yeah, I'm going to try to put spaghetti on a long roll.
That's right.
It's pretty good.
All
right, Carlo. Appreciate
some
it.
Butter on that roll.
Panorama Restaurant. Thanks, man. By the way, when I was a kid and you had mentioned French bread pizza and putting spaghetti, my favorite thing when... And I was in probably like third or fourth grade or whatever when we would get spaghetti served at lunch and they would serve it on a nice big garlic garlic bread.
Yeah.
I would put the spaghetti on the garlic bread.
I'm with you on that.
Eat it that way and it was fantastic. Well, one of my favorite meals as a kid.
You're eating both together anyway.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Let's go to a couple other calls here. We're going to go to Jim and I've got him on both sides here. Hey, Jim, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Listen, just to settle this once and for all, it doesn't matter what's on there or what you call it. If you like it, you eat it, and that's it.
Wow, okay, you're a peacemaker.
He
I like
is,
that.
Yeah, he's Switzerland, and I like that.
Okay.
But, I mean, I there is a difference between a cheesesteak and a steak and cheese sandwich, which the previous caller just confirmed that.
Yes.
I call them a cheesy beefy sandwich that I make at home.
A cheesy beefy sandwich.
Like now, yeah, that solves it.
It comes with, I actually like provolone instead, and I put it on some bread, and I put it in the toaster, and I have a cheesy beefy sandwich.
Cheesy beefy.
But at the end of the day, we're from Philadelphia. We call them cheesesteaks,
yeah.
And they are cheesesteaks on an Italian roll.
Yep.
But if you want to call it a cheesesteak when you're in your own kitchen, it's your rules, you're not at your own restaurant.
By the way, thank you, Jim. I think the rest of the world thinks that you put... green peppers on cheesesteaks.
I don't like it.
Onions and green peppers, which is not bad.
You can.
I mean, it's
yeah.
okay.
I just
but,
do the
but
onions.
It's not traditional.
Yeah.
You know
I mean, listen, I put mushrooms on my cheesesteak sometimes. So.
I like mushroom steaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let me throw a wrench in here. Cheesesteak dip.
I had it a couple times. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still cheesesteak.
It's dip. You goddamn.
A-hole.
You are an idiot, but it is still a cheesesteak.
It is not.
It's cheesesteak.
What planet are you on?
Once you made it a dip.
Once you hyphenate it, once you add, once you have compound worded it,
cheesesteak
no
is now
cheese.
The adjective.
What is
dip
it made
is
of?
The noun.
What is it made of?
It doesn't matter what it's made of.
Now,
dip
is
the verb.
Well, it's got like cream cheese in it, probably.
You know, it depends on how you make it.
Yeah, go to Pat's or Jim's or Gino's or order a steakum cheesesteak dip and say that you're eating a cheesesteak. See how they respond.
Well, they don't have that on the menu.
Let's see.
What if you order water and they bring steam to your table?
It's still water. Or if they bring you ice.
This is too hot.
I ordered water. It is water.
All right, let me go to, I have Carl. Hi, Carl. Good morning.
Good morning, It. How are you?
Good morning, It, Carl. Good. What's your
I'm
take
angry.
On the controversy?
All right, no. As soon as you take it off of a roll, or I'll even give you the Kaiser roll, it is no longer a cheesesteak. It is now a struggle snack if you put it on white bread.
Wait, it is now what?
A struggle snack.
A struggle snack?
Yeah, it's a struggle snack.
Isn't that what they do to you in prison?
What's a struggle snack?
I'm saying, like, if you have a cheeseburger and you're making, you know, like, I ran out of rolls, and, you know, you put it on a piece of white bread or a hot dog, for that matter, it's now a struggle snack.
Okay.
A struggle snack.
Yeah.
You're struggling to make it what it should be. You're just whipping together anything. I love that term, Carl. All right.
If you take cheese, pepperoni, and you know, and you put it in the marinara sauce, and you put it on a piece of bread, it looks like a pizza, but that is a struggle snack.
Well, let me ask you.
I used to make those all the time, by the way.
So, Carl, I threw the question out to Preston. If you put a hot dog on a folded white piece of white bread and put mustard on it, what do you call that?
It's a struggle stack.
A struggle stack.
All right. It falls under the category.
Like I said, even without bread, a hot dog is a hot dog.
But a man, which is a meal.
We learned that. It was a national Sloppy Joe Day the other day. It's the week of the most unhealthy food you could possibly eat. Let me go to Skippy. Hi, Skippy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo, bud. What's your take?
All right, so I work at a Phil Steaks on the weekend, and we get a lot of people that come up to the window, and they're like, hey, can I get a cheesesteak, but I can't eat bread. Can I get it in a platter? So I don't yell out the window, yo, I got a ribeye steak here. I say, yo, I got a cheesesteak in a platter.
All right.
No matter what it is, it's still a cheesesteak.
All right.
He's with you guys.
Skippy. Yeah. I appreciate that. By the way, as a kid, one of my favorite shows was Skippy the Bush Kangaroo out of Australia. I just thought you'd be impressed to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, thank that.
Thanks, Skippy.
I'm going to eat Skippy peanut butter from now on. Converted.
Clearly, we're going to have to do an online poll.
Yeah. And we're going to lose, I know, because we're in Philadelphia. But, I mean, listen.
Well, you don't know.
It didn't even start on a hoagie roll, per se.
Okay.
It started most likely on a hot dog roll.
Okay.
Still a cheesesteak.
But that's a roll.
Yeah. It's not a hoagie roll.
No, it's not.
No.
It's a roll.
You know what I can't get out of my mind, Preston?
Jesus. What?
French bread pizza.
I know.
Still pizza.
I need to have some.
I can't get it out of my mind.
French bread pizza.
Mm-hmm. I can't get it out.
Cheesy garlic bread was a thing we regularly ate.
All right, man.
The pizza joint I worked at, Emo's, that was one of the things. Although they called it garlic cheese bread.
All right, I'm going to recommend something, and I'm not as... Listen, I pay for it every time I get it. But if you get the cheesy bread from Couch Tomato, it's deadly and wonderful. But okay, and someday I pay for it every time.
We need to do a segment of what you don't like at Couch Tomato.
I love it all.
I know you do. Yeah. Let me see here. I will go to Sean. Sean, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks, how's it going?
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
All right, I've been waiting a while, and I'm ready to debunk everything.
Okay, do it.
Okay. So Casey is correct. And here's why. What do you call a cheesesteak without cheese?
A cheesesteak without a steak sandwich, I guess?
Correct.
Yeah.
So a cheesesteak is a cheesesteak sandwich, regardless of the bread that it's on.
Wow.
Whole okay.
Mind blown.
So your steak sandwich is usually served on a roll, but it can be served on anything. What the other guy was calling up and talking about was a roast beef sandwich. Now, with Nifty 50s, the ribeye is not the delineation of the sandwiches either, because over at Nifty 50s, they make a filet mignon cheesesteak.
By the way, I disagree with the roast beef sandwich, the way that guy was describing it. Want to go on record.
Okay.
And I do like roast beef sandwiches.
I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Tony Luke and Pat's and Gino's are all tourist traps. Phil's getting out of there, but, I mean, I value his opinion, but not as much.
Wait a minute.
Listen, I still...
Tourist trap my ass, dude. Those are classics.
And those are great. I still love them.
It's a great place to go if you want a roast pork sandwich, but there's also places four blocks away that'll give you a bigger roast pork. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Listen, we got you.
Yeah.
Also,
no harm, no foul.
Furthermore, you got the guy from Washington, D.C. We got Preston from, up north.
Oh, don't even pull that.
up north.
North
Missouri.
Lives up there in Harleysville at his castle.
Oh, that north.
Oh, that is a...
Hey, Sean, when you go to a non-tourist trap place and you order a cheesesteak, what does it come on?
It comes on, well...
Your face?
Depends.
Your mouth? Oh, my God.
Your mouth.
It'll come on a long roll if I ask for that.
If you ask for it, you don't have to ask for it. What does it come on? What's the standard that it comes on?
I don't know. I got cheesesteak egg rolls the other day for...
You had egg rolls that had cheesesteak ingredients in them?
What are they coming on?
Okay. Sean, thank you. Appreciate the opinion, brother. All right.
Yep.
I liked his reasoning, and from now on, I'm not going to eat Skippy peanut butter. I'm going to eat Sean peanut butter.
All right, we're going to one more. I'm going to go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Yo, buddy. Yo.
Yeah, keep it simple, guys.
Okay.
You ask people from Philly, what's a cheesesteak? It has to be the long roll. I think the people at D'Ambrosio's and Ambrosio's.
Are you talking about like Amoroso?
I've been waiting too long. I was all fired.
More tired now.
No, you're talking about that, D'Alessandro's, right?
Philly is known for cheesesteaks on a long roll. That's a Philly person's idea of a cheesesteak. If you go down south, they call them subs. Anywhere else you go, yes, it's the ingredients. But the typical thought in a Philadelphian's head with a cheesesteak is on a long roll.
So, like in New York, the classification, like a sub, would be a hot hero. A hero is a hoagie here, and a sub is something that is heated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Down in New York, Ocean City, Maryland, they used to call them submarines.
Right.
And they were
called grinders.
Well, in Subway, the sandwich joint.
The grinders were when you put them in the oven and toast them.
Right. The grinder, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the subs and heroes were the hoagies.
All right, Jeff. We appreciate you. Thanks for chiming in. And,
yeah, thanks for getting to me, man.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Right, here's the bottom line. Anybody involved in this conversation in this room right now, you should probably stay away from social media in the comments section because you're not going to have...
Look at it, Case. The survey is up, and it's pretty neck and neck.
The votes I'm okay with. The comments, like, you can keep the comments to yourself.
Don't read the comments.
I'm not gonna.
Okay. No, but that means he's going to read every single one of them.
I know. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Not
anyhow, listen, however you decide to eat your cheesesteak today, do it the way you want to do it. You can have it on sliced bread if you have to do that. That's fine. Or in a lettuce wrap like Casey was talking about earlier. And thank you to Tony and Carlo who checked in from the restaurant side of things. Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Three hunters were injured Monday in two separate grizzly bear attacks on the west side of Gravelly Mountains. The three survivors sustained moderate to severe injuries. Both attacks involved a single bear, but it's not clear at this point whether the same bear was involved. Wardens are asking hunters to leave that particular area.
I have a twin brother.
That's a good excuse, right? The first attack happened at about 7:30 a.m. on Monday. A bear charged two bow hunters as they were heading south. Both hunters were injured, but were able to drive the bear away and get medical treatment. The two hunters came actually into a sporting goods store dressed in their hospital gowns looking for new clothing. An employee that the men said that they were able to deploy bear spray, which ultimately drove the bear off. So it worked.
That's amazing.
The second attack happened in the same general area about 6:30 in the evening, though, as two adult male hunters were headed north. One of the hunters was injured before they drove the bear away, and they're continuing to investigate the attacks, and the authorities said that there are more details will be provided as they do become available.
Sounds like it might be one bear, because the bear, you know, like even a grizzly bear will be frightened away by someone who knows what they're doing, like a bell or a whistle or whatever.
Yeah.
They usually don't just out of the blue attack people.
I have another grizzly bear story.
If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
You remember that?
What is that from?
It's from Cannonball Run.
Oh, my God. No, I don't remember that.
And it's true, though. It's a very sage advice.
But it's not every day that a man tries to fight a grizzly bear. It appears that's what happened in Banff National Park when Devin Mitzwing got out of his truck shirtless and began shouting at a young grizzly while in a boxing stance before charging at it, according to an eyewitness to the incident.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Caught on camera by a couple of nearby photographers who were taking pictures of the lone grazing grizzly on Highway 93.
So I'm gonna kill him, and then I'm going to feel terrible because he's obviously deranged.
And Royal Canadian Mounted Police, after the incident, Mitzwing was later located by the police and a park warden and charged under the National Parks Act for disturbing wildlife in a national park. So after two previous missed court dates, the case finally came to trial Friday morning with Judge George Gashler.
What a name.
Finding
you got the gash.
Finding this Saskatchewan man guilty and imposing a $4,000 fine. The judge said, it is abundantly clear this is a disturbance of grizzly bear, and I find Mr. Mitzwing guilty. While he was at the courthouse before the doors officially opened, he left to run some errands and grab some food, resulting in his absence from that morning trial. But it was decided he's going to have until October 16th to pay the fine.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Stop bothering the grizzly bears.
Yeah, there's a picture Nick has of this moron doing this. So, whatever. They are out there. Idiots. An Australian hiker described Wednesday how he had to carry his leg as he crawled for 2 days to get help after it, quote, clean snapped in half.
Whoa.
Unbelievable.
As he fell down a waterfall.
Unbelievable. Just like your story, Nick.
Just like you.
I had this sent to me quite a few times yesterday.
Crawled for 2 days.
Yeah.
Neil Parker told reporters from his hospital bed that he smashed into rocks after falling 20 feet in isolated Australian woodland on Sunday, snapping his lower left leg and breaking a wrist.
Oh, my God.
He had no cell phone reception to ask for aid and soon dropped his phone in a creek, forcing him to painfully crawl to find help during what was supposed to have been a pleasant 3-hour hike near Brisbane. He said, my left foot just below my ankle clean snapped in half. So the whole bottom of my leg came loose, he said.
It's just hanging freely within the skin.
I guess so. He said, I had to carry my leg, and legs are very heavy when they're not connected to anything, and trying to pick it up and get over rocks. He started scrambling and lifting inch by inch, having to stop every 3 feet or so because of the pain from his injuries. Parker, an experienced hiker and guide, made a makeshift splint for his leg with snake bite bandages and walking poles from his kit. He said that it took him 2 days to get just 2 miles for help.
It's unbelievable.
Admitting, he said, I was thinking that I was never going to get out of here. But thinking about his family is what gave him the strength to keep on going.
The story would have turned out differently had he been a broadcaster.
Yeah. Yes. He survived by eating a protein bar and lollipops. And also had painkillers in his pack. He said, people in the club ask, why do you carry 10 kilos of equipment every time you go out for a walk? Well, this is the reason.
So you're saying down in Brisbane, lollipops and protein bars grow naturally?
Yeah, they do. He just found them in the wild. A rescue helicopter finally spotted him Tuesday afternoon and winched him to safety.
Hey, look at this lollipop bush.
He's due to have surgery, by the way. So, wow, that's messed up.
How could you keep from vomiting looking at your leg dangling freely within its own skin?
I don't want to. Yeah. Bowling Green, Kentucky Police Department is investigating an incident in which a woman found another woman in her trunk when she stopped for gas. Law enforcement officers talked to the woman who had been in the trunk of the car, and she's unharmed.
Do you keep a spare woman in your trunk?
You know, for emergencies.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I'm feeling horny.
The police spokesman said, we have processed the car and our detectives are attempting to learn why the female was in the car.
Not even an indication of how she ended up there?
No one's been charged with a crime. No other information was released. And the two women did not know each other. So, yeah, it's kind of wild. All right, and then one last story. I do like this one. The University of Michigan's infamous North Campus turkey appears to have strutted its way into the great beyond.
Oh.
Actually, I don't like this story. I thought this was a different story.
Here's a heartwarming story about a dead animal.
I didn't mean to end it this way.
If we can bring the children in onto the room and have them gather around the radio, I have a heartwarming story about a turkey that was beaten to death with a hammer.
That was a totally different story than I thought I was going to go to. Well, after they were unable to shoo the territorial bird away from the area surrounding the UM Transportation Research Institute, and based on reports of aggressive behavior that included chasing bicyclists, walkers, and joggers, Ann Arbor police requested the Department of Natural Resources permanently take care of the problem. A DNR officer accompanied by police shot and killed the gobbler on Monday.
DNR officer, Turkey Division.
It wasn't entirely clear if it was the same turkey that was accused of attacking passersby last spring. Police speculated in May that the turkey, which was making the social media rounds at the time, may have been hit and killed by a passing car.
The turkey had a social media account?
A spokeswoman who works in a campus building nearby said he wasn't aggressive, but he could be perceived as being aggressive. He would walk up to people and people would try to take his picture. So we were concerned and we wanted to move him someplace out of harm's way.
Well, they tried.
And they said we were very surprised when yesterday morning law enforcement was seen chasing the turkey and then we heard shots and that was it. So they didn't want him to kill the turkey.
No.
The woman said that she made calls to try and figure out what happened. She said she called the city and finally the city said that... we should contact DNR, and we finally got back from DNR. When they finally got back to us, they told us that they had been contacted by the city by the police to euthanize the turkey as he was deemed a menace. So, what a wonderful
I left
story.
For like an hour to go get a turkey sandwich, and I come back and my turkey's dead.
There you go. And that is what I have for you in the bizarre file for now. We're going to take a break. Be back in just a moment.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
The Foos lead into the trash on 93.3 WMMR. Ray Koob hosting the best of Preston and Steve. Taking out the trash.
All right, Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, Britney Spears taking her sons Sean Preston and Jaden out in public for a special trip to Disneyland. Friends say the boys are a perfect blend of Britney and their dad, Kevin Federline, meaning that they're 100% Britney.
Oh, my.
3 days after Bachelorette runner-up Tyler Cameron spent the night at Hannah Brown's L.A. home, he reportedly hung out all night with model Gigi Hadid in New York City. Tyler insists he's not being unfaithful, noting that Gigi got an entirely different finger. And finally,
wow.
The not always reliable British tabloid The Sun reporting that Prince Charles himself was offered a small cameo role in the upcoming 25th James Bond film. Charles was reportedly offered the role of a secondary villain named Harry Old Man Ears.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
That is what we are. No one in between. Yep.
You could do this?
Couldn't do it well.
That's true. She can. Yeah. Technically, she can do it. Casey wrote down, Islands in the Stream is on my workout playlist. This is what Casey does squat thrust to.
Yeah. Burpees. Whatever I'm doing, whenever this song comes on, it just makes me do it better, you know?
Yeah.
Really?
No. I probably work out to music that most people don't. And I was doing something last week. I think I was doing, I start all my workouts with a wall sit. And I was sitting there doing a wall sit, and I was at about minute three, which is actually a pretty decent wall sit. And I realized, holy crap, I'm probably the only person listening to this song while working out right now. And it was I Can't Make You Love Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, my God.
It's a good song.
It's a great song!
It's insanely slow and depressing.
So I'll listen to some things that might be aggressive if you know... I'll listen to things that do tend to go, that can be moody, that can be low key, like, you know, dark Side of the Moon or something like that. If I'm listening to music, I go all over the place. Yeah. I don't necessarily need like Tool or something kinetic for me to do a good workout.
But wait a second. I'm pulling up this song right now. Yeah. And this is you're working out to this song, all right?
Yes.
And hang on.
Oh, love this song.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Great.
Not for a workout.
Working out, this is...
Now, hang on.
This is go-to-sleep music.
Can I tell you something? This is what, in the original Rocky, he ran up the museum steps to.
Are you kidding me? Really? Yeah. There was this training montage song?
You can't make it love me if you don't.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, I used to work out to whatever came on my phone. Like, whatever music was there, I could, like, even if it was this, I can't do that anymore. Like, now it does have to be more typical workout music.
Watching the training
We're watching Rocky's training montage as this song.
It works, doesn't it?
It works. That's perfectly. Maybe early in the morning, right when he gets started, but by the time he's running as fast as he possibly can.
I can't make you love me!
Yeah.
You have to understand, now, at this point, I am doing a wall sit, and I'm a few minutes in. So what I'm doing at that point is I'm doing breathing exercises, right? I'm breathing in, and I'm breathing out, and I'm trying to, like...
So you're existing.
So, well, I'm existing, yes. But I'm also trying to sort of take my mind off of the muscle ache that's going on as well. So a song like that, I think, is great. Now, if I was doing, like, kickboxing or something, maybe, you know...
I see you. This is my vision. You up against the wall, hands on the wall, or maybe across your knees here.
So hot.
Head pointed up, eyes closed.
Oh, yeah.
Singing, mouthing the words.
Not mouthing the words.
But the other parts I got right?
Everything else you got
eyes
right.
Eyes closed.
Yes.
But in your head, you're swaying and you're singing along to the music.
Trying to remain calm.
Do you have to, like, for example, so Kathy, Preston, Nick, do you have to have kinetic music when you're training?
No. If I, when I was working the heavy bag, absolutely.
Well, that makes sense.
For sure.
Yes, I can see that.
I would put on Breed from Nirvana. Right. I would put on Killing in the Name. I would put on, and the only thing that was a little bit offbeat.
All right.
Let's hear it. Was The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
That's actually a great training song.
It's a bounce around, kind of fun.
That's Muhammad Ali.
Footwork. You know, be bobbing and weaving and dancing, I would put that on.
That's what I like. Stuff, I mean, not typically like that, but like I said, I used to be able to just, even if it was a slow song, like Casey's talking about, I could run on the treadmill to that. But it changed. Not anymore. I do need more upbeat, faster-paced music. It has to be.
I still don't. I can still do a slow-paced piece of music, but you know, obviously, when something like this kicks in, you're gonna amp it up a bit.
You know, this is good. But I have found, Kathy, while running, I actually like slower paced music, so that I'm not as inclined to run to the pace and the beat of the music.
What do you put on, like chamber music?
Well, so I have a playlist, and I'm just gonna hit shuffle real quick.
Okay.
I just hit shuffle. All right, hang on.
I don't know what that is.
This is Fish. That last one was War on Drugs. But, like, you know, this gets me in a good mental space.
What else you got?
This is St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
What other Dolly Parton do you have?
Jolene? No. Dolly Parton, I had Endless Love with Diana Ross and Lionel Richie.
Part of your workout regimen.
Part of my workout regimen.
Oh my love.
Do you use songs as a way to keep time?
No.
I don't.
Well,
I do.
Yeah. I was doing like a 5-minute plank.
So for me, sometimes it doesn't matter at all what the song is, because I know that song is in all likelihood in between the 3 to 5 minute range, and that'll get me to the next song, which allows me to keep working out for that amount of time. And I was working out to Love Shack the other day, which is a great
song. Yeah. B-52s will provide a lot of the Deadbeat Club.
I don't
and
know if
Roll.
It's a traditional workout song, Rome. But it got me through those 5 minutes, you know, and then I was like, all right, I've done this. Now I can do what I'm going
to
do next.
I will wall sit to All Four Sides of The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
See that? Well, I don't know that music.
Yeah.
I just know it's progressive.
Yeah.
Here we go. I mean, could you imagine just doing squat thrusts to this? Or
I could.
Yeah.
If it allows you to just sort of focus and pull a little bit off, as you say, the pain element or that aspect of it, if it works for you, yeah.
All right, Preston.
I want to play some of my. I found my workout mix. I'll skim through these. Okay.
All right. All right. Hang on a second here. All right. Yep. Here we go.
It's a good one.
That's Wire from U2.
It's a good one.
All right. So that's up tempo. Right. Yep. All right. So that's one. Here's the next one. Rope from Foo Fighters.
Another good one.
Okay. So that gets going. That picks up. All right, then you have... Oh, yeah, this is good. Why isn't that playing?
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
I had to throw some Red Hot Chili Peppers in there. This is a little old-school Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Called Fight Like a Brave. then in the R&B range...
Get down.
All right. Get down. Oh, okay. This was my favorite song to work out to when I was working the bag. Here. This one would get me going big time. Lose Yourself from Eminem.
It takes a little. See, this part of the song, I'm like,
all of that.
On spaghetti, he's nervous. But on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting. Moments you hold it, you better never let it go.
That's a driving song.
We were talking about him opening up his mom's spaghetti place, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, here's one from a band that was out of St. Louis called It's Getting Hectic. This is a good up-tempo song. And then, every now and then, this would pop up. A little bit. So, mine were more up-tempo because I was usually working the back.
It's what works for you. Like, a lot of times I'll put on TV and I'll put on, like, QVC just to hear voices and so that I'm a little bit, I'm quasi-focusing on that and pulling off what I'm doing. So, because, you know, that's the way I roll.
Now, that was just me hitting the bag. But if I am, if I'm doing elliptical or something of that nature, I put on a TV show.
Yeah.
I will watch that. I can kill 30 minutes and be distracted and not think about working out that entire time.
On the treadmill? That's exactly what I do. I don't run or speed walk to music.
So that's where, Nick, what you were talking about with, like, do you do it to time things out? And so if I am on the elliptical or if I'm jogging, like, I'm like, okay, if I do elliptical, this will get me, because Press, do you do elliptical for, like, an hour or?
Right now, like, a half hour, but, yeah, I have done hour-long, usually 45 minutes.
Half hour. So two episodes of The Nanny.
Yeah. But, like, a half hour, that's, like, a good... Six, maybe seven songs or something like that.
It's great for binge-watching, especially if there's a show that I will make a deal with myself. I can't watch any episodes outside of elliptical. So I will only watch it. And if it really grabs you, then you want to go work out so you can watch the show.
I did.
You don't cheat on it.
The reboot of Battlestar Galactica while I was exercising.
I watched Game of Thrones two times.
Yeah.
All while exercising. The entire eight seasons while exercising.
I get that the feeling in the room is probably not, but could any of you guys do audiobooks while working out?
No.
Or spoken word? I did a full audiobook on the stepper.
I've heard a lot of people listen to our show while working out.
Yeah. And my brother does. My older brother runs to it.
And people, Steve, will mess up their exercise routine when you drop a funny bomb. And people, so like they'll fall off the treadmill or whatever. But for me, working out to spoken word doesn't get it done.
Do you like street poetry?
I like slam poetry.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I know Chuck, when he was jogging, he preferred to jog to podcasts. And it was because it's, I think, the same thing. Like he wants to be able to set his own pace. And sometimes the music will.
That makes
set
sense.
Your pace for you.
There is. Remember when it first came out, Nike had the sensors when they first started introducing these sort of synergistic workout programs with the Apple Watch and all that stuff. Where Nike had the little sensors in your shoes, and it would actually
pick a song.
It would pick songs. Polik is how they do it in Poland. The music selection based on your tempo.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just wanted to go back. Nick mentioned people podcasting our show and working out. So I was in Bridgeport the other day. My brother just had twins. And so before they got home from the hospital, you know, we put balloons up and decorated and stuff. And I was trying to water their mums because they had been at the hospital for a few days and they were dying. And, you know, he lives in a row home. So I had to, like, walk around the block. I'm looking for a hose.
Right.
And I see this girl. She's out walking, taking her dog for a walk. And I hear... our interview with Miss Pat. And it was, oh, no, it was the day after. And it was like, I had like, for a second, I was like, wait, that happened in my life. What? And then I looked at her and she didn't recognize me at all. She just kept walking. But I was like, oh, my God, hi, that's me. I was like, that's my show.
This is going to impress you a lot.
No, I didn't say anything, but it was was like, oh, my God.
It is weird. It is weird when somebody is listening to the show, like, either driving past you or, like, I was walking down, I forget where it was, but a guy comes by in a car, and I guess he recognized me. He's coming in, and the window goes down on the passenger side. He goes, this is you right there!
Kath, I try to every month do a different like a physical challenge thing. So this month was mental, right? So I was trying to do meditation.
Oh, good for you.
Well, I haven't for like the last 4 days. Oh. And so I was trying to do guided meditation. And when you try and find guided meditation, I can't find somebody without an accent. So I was doing this meditation. And I was trying to do it before the show. And I think I came in and I told you, Steve, I started howling laughing. Because, so you got this music, and they're guiding you through it. Okay, now you're going to do this. I want you to relax all of your body.
Right.
And then at one point she goes, okay, now breathe in. And she breathes in, and she had a nose whistle. Oh, so she's like, okay, now.
And I just lost it.
You're not doing it right.
Okay, now breathe in.
Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in. All right, now rapid fire breathing.
Casey, I have an app. She doesn't have an accent. She doesn't have a nose whistle.
Oh my God!
And I love her. She's
you
great.
Want someone very generic in their absolutely. A dialect can be distracting, right?
Not that it's
well,
but not only
yeah,
that.
Well, I forgot it was Mindhead that he used. No, yeah. Yeah, Headspace or whatever it was, and the guy was he had a very pronounced either New Zealand or Australian accent. He's like, okay, now sit in your chair, lie on the ground,
right.
Sit in a chair. And it's like, and instead of hearing chair, I'm hearing chair. Yeah.
You're going to get really relaxed.
Yeah. after a while, I got used to it.
Yeah.
But at first, I was like, wow, okay.
So, you relax, you had to want.
I like the guy on Netflix. There's a series on Netflix of meditation and sleeping and sleep exercises and whatever. And that guy that does that on Netflix, for whatever reason... It's like a voice of authority. It helps me to get into that meditative state.
Somebody like James Earl Jones. Yeah.
The other problem is I was listening with my earbuds on, so you hear everything. So the other problem was you had this music going, and the person's not talking the whole time. But Steve, every single time they did talk, you would basically hear the microphone turn on. Yeah. And that was distracting.
A little click.
Right. Yeah, there was like a click, and then this like ambient like room sound.
Okay, now breathe.
That's a new nose whistle.
And breathe out.
Oh God,
this is
all
awful.
Right, now we're gonna meditate.
This is the worst meditation ever.
You're thinking about lesbians doing a daisy chain. Beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing.
And then one, hear the sound of the queefing.
Oh my God.
Guided meditation. Meditate. Relax. What are you, stupid?
I mean, dude, that's how the whistle was.
Found it.
She was like, okay, breathe in.
Sometimes they overmic themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are listening to. I'm telling you, the one that I have is...
Can we plug in your... Is it on your phone?
Well,
she's got one over here.
She's got one over there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to find... How... Like, sometimes I can't find apps on my phone, so you go
into... Go to the app section.
I know, but no, but you go into the app store, and it says, okay, open, which means you have it. Well, where the hell is it on my phone?
Well, you can... There's a search function.
Yeah.
That you can... Okay.
All right, so this...
Not on the app store. That. On your phone. Not on the app store.
I know, but then it'll still say open, but I can't... then it doesn't tell me what folder it's in. You know what I mean?
Use your phone.
Shut up. I hate you guys.
Okay.
It's called...
You'd relax more if you could use your phone.
Ace, it's called Insight Timer.
Insight Timer. This
is your time to relax.
That's not her.
No, this was mine. This was this is the nose whistle.
Can we hear the nose whistle part, you think?
Yeah, I got to go in probably about 2 minutes. Hang on.
Now, she has the real sharp S's.
I don't like that either.
With reverb on it, which accentuates it.
All right, I'm taking a piss.
It's calling you. Let's take 10 steps over to it.
No, I don't like her.
Uh-uh.
They have too much iron in their EQ. That's what it is.
As you walk, your body relaxes. And your mind clears. More and more with each step you take.
I think I gotta go.
The time has come to relax.
Yeah.
Place yourself in a beautiful...
Count to nine. Not 10. 10 would be desperate.
Reston with Weston.
Reston with Weston.
Yes.
Think of yourself as low-hanging fruit. Don't act like a hard uncle.
Feel your lungs completely.
Feel your nuts?
Lungs.
Wait. Totally.
Yeah.
Back it up. Back it up.
Hang on.
She says, fill your lungs completely, and then she breathes in, and you can hear the nose whistle. Can you back it up?
Yeah. Hang on. Oh, here it is.
Okay. Fill your lungs completely.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
That's really stupid to leave that on there.
Where's the music coming from, dude?
I have
nothing turned up here.
Oh, that's Kathy.
Oh.
Are you plugged in?
No, I'm not plugged in.
No. Yeah. That's you.
That's got to be on the... His phone's not plugged in.
Were you playing the actual Bach clip?
Oh, okay. All right. Hang on. It was coming from the preview speaker behind you.
Oh.
What?
There's from the preview speaker behind
you. That sounded live on the air. That
was,
okay. That was coming through the microphone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn, that was loud.
Breathe in now.
Now, take a drink of water.
1 second. As we take a drink of water.
By the way, Casey just spit water all over the place.
Steve did too.
Are you relaxed now?
It's coming out of my nose.
Thanks for joining.
There's some water on the monitor.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Off. Steve, you're so funny.
More over here, too. See it? There you go.
Gotcha.
So did you bail on that altogether?
I ended up bailing on that. I don't do the guided meditation. I just do the, breathe
self-guided?
In, breathe out. Self-guided.
Okay.
Because I can't. I can't listen to people anymore. Because I automatically... I automatically
you're no guy.
That.
Yeah.
Have you lost track of time while doing that yet or anything?
No, you know what? I do set a timer on my watch so that it buzzes. So because I'm trying to do it how the monthly challenge goes. So like the first week was 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, and then 15 minutes. So I'm trying to stay regimented. But
let me ask you what the other type of monthly challenges there are. So you've done all these physical, you know, there were like wall sits and planks and stuff like that. And
push-ups.
Right.
Heels to trip at M16.
Besides physical ones or like along the lines of meditation, are there other kind of offbeat ones?
Yeah, is something a little bit more on the meditation realm? Or
possibly.
Are you supposed to look ahead?
We'll revisit that. Well, usually I look at it the last week of the month. So,
what about steaming your vagina? Is that part of it?
Is this a service that you're using?
No. So I started it on doing it on Instagram. I invited people to join me. And so I got a few people along the way. And then actually... you remember Coach Jim?
Yes. Who was the weight loss.
Biggest Loser?
Yes.
Yeah. He was the one who recommended doing a mental one this month.
Okay, so people suggest it.
Yeah.
So that's why there's no governing body of, hey, we're all doing this month.
No. So,
the Council of Elders.
So that suggestion was made. So then I sent that out to the people that I've been, corresponding with. And that's the other part of it is there's a little bit of accountability with some people that I'm doing this with.
Preston, why don't you sit on the wall?
So there's
Gandalf's guided meditation. Why don't you go talk to large humanless trees?
I'd be down with that.
Go to the Shire.
I wonder if I could meditate to this.
This is such a beautiful piece of music. You can meditate to this.
Easily.
I've never told anyone this, but the hobbits annoy me.
Ooh, I was almost in key there for a second.
Between you and me, when he's not around, I call him Dildo.
So what I like about the monthly challenges is it starts at, I think, at a level that most people can do, right?
Right.
So when I first did this on January 1st, mm-hmm. it started with a 30-second plank or maybe even a 10-second plank. And I remember, Press, you were here when I was doing it, and I'd gotten like 2 minutes, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do two and a half
minutes.
And
surprise yourself, don't
and
you?
And then I got it done.
Right.
And so that's kind of how every single month it was. And then, Nick, you joined me with the push-up challenge. I remember doing the first day of push-ups. It was 10 push-ups. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do 100 push-ups at the end of the month.
It's part of the process. Yeah,
exactly.
You practice allows you to do more.
What was the hardest one?
Holding
in your pee.
Well, so I was warned. I did
a month.
I did a dips challenge, and it wasn't necessarily the
onion
hardest
dip,
but it did the most damage. And I
did a dip challenge too. It was way different.
How many dips did you finish off at?
I think I had to bail because I ended up hurting my shoulder.
It's a tough one.
And I actually have an MRI on my shoulder today.
Okay.
Because and so Nick Ruger, your trainer, Nick, he's the one who warned me. He goes, you know, dips can cause some damage in your shoulders. I didn't listen. And here we are. But I thought...
You need to listen to your trainer.
Thank you, Gandalf.
Go to Trinity Rehab.
Yeah.
I will.
Trinity takes care of... Nick, Preston, and even Pierre.
That's right.
Nick, the 5-minute plank at the end of the month is definitely the hardest.
All right. I don't know how we... Oh, yeah.
A weird Islands workout song.
Islands in the Stream.
Yeah.
That's on Casey's workout. Mix, so...
It's the Bee Gees song.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.